Thank you, everybody. Could you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? We're about to start the meeting. Hello,
everyone.
Okay, so that's just to show you that he's on the speakerphone. He's out of the state right now, and he wanted to attend the meeting. We're only having one item on the agenda tonight, and all of you probably know what that item is, and it's all regarding the discussions that we've had with the State Water Resources Control Board regarding the loan for the wastewater treatment project. We have agendas. We have a copy of the draft proposal. I'm going to have overheads, so it can be up there as well. And we have kind of a procedure for dealing with this tonight. I'm going to make, first of all, we have an honored guest here tonight, Assemblyman Sam Blakesley, who's going to explain the process that we went through this week. And I'm going to ask him up to the microphone in just a minute just to explain the rest of the procedure. After Mr. Blakesley speaks and answers some questions from the board, if there are any, or staff, Director Vice President Fouché and myself will explain the process and proposal in detail to the public. And then we'll have questions from board, comments from staff, and then we're going to have your turn to speak about the proposal and react to the proposal. And I've arranged something kind of unique tonight in the way of public speaking, because there are so many, and it is kind of a hot topic, to understatement. But I'm going to allow 3 minutes public comment for each person. If you want to speak early and you want to leave early, you can fill out a speaker slip, and I'll take you first. If you don't want to speak, you don't need to have a speaker slip tonight, but if you want one, you can have one. Then, after everybody has spoken, I want to allow 1 more minute for anybody else, or if you'd like to come up again to the microphone and give me a this or a this on the proposal in 1 minute. Just after you've heard everybody's comments, then you might have an opinion, and your opinion may have changed or stayed the same. So your first 3 minutes is to make your comments about the proposal, and your last minute is to give us an indication of how you feel about the proposal, this or this. And I have some ground rules about the meeting up here. I'd like to ask everybody to please stay respectful and polite. We all know this is a controversial issue, but we're looking for constructive criticism. We're not looking for destructive criticism. We're looking for constructive. We're asking for your assistance in making these hard decisions. We're also asking that you respect your community and the board and staff by trying to remain civil and polite at all costs. And then we'd ask you also to not talk about the Regional Water Board or the fines, and to stay on topic. This is not about the Regional Water Board. This is not about fines. This is not about our dealings with that. That's going to come at a later meeting. This meeting is about the loan and the construction contract that's in place, and that's all. So I'm asking you to stay on topic. With that, I'd like to introduce Mr. Assemblyman Sam Blakesley.
Madam President, members of the board and public, I want to thank you for the opportunity of being with you here tonight. I want to start by commending this board for the courage and leadership they demonstrated when they reached out and sought compromise. Broke down, where we came to a halt, and it wasn't clear if we were going to be able to move forward. But each and every person who engaged in this process was committed to working through that process. And I particularly want to thank the Cal EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency Secretary, Dr. Alan Lloyd, who stepped in at a key moment and got our negotiations back on track at the highest levels in the state. I also want to make a point of thanking the State Water Board member, Jerry Secundi, who drove up from Pasadena and spent half a day with me going over the CSD's proposal. You know, the process was challenging because the criteria for success they were complex, and in many ways, to some, they appeared contradictory. And some of those criteria were that every option had to be on the table, and an honest assessment had to be given to every possible solution. Two, we had to be realistic about the facts as they do exist, not as we wish they could, they would, or should. Three, we had to move forward, have a vision for where we needed to go, and put in the past the challenges of the past. Four, we had to find the fastest, surest, and potentially least litigious path to cleaning our water. We need to have clean water, not simply for our sake, but for our children and for the Bay. At every step, we checked the cost of key decision points as they pertain to capital expenditures and ongoing operations and maintenance costs. We developed solid assurances and guarantees that state monies as loaned would be repaid and would be repaid in a timely fashion under any one of a number of possible scenarios that could happen in the future. We sought to honor the spirit of Measure B, which is achieve an alternative site out of downtown. But we also acknowledged the difficulties of the operational language in Measure B, which could have unintended consequences and in some way could prevent the very spirit of Measure B from being implemented, namely a successful move. And finally, one of our criteria was to begin the healing process in our community. The result of this process is the detailed and even complex proposal that addresses all the criteria just mentioned, and both sides will need to make difficult compromises if it's to be implemented. But I wanted to close my prepared remarks by saying that the situation we face reminds me very much of a story in Greek mythology. Some of you know this myth. It's one that Homer referenced. It's the myth of Sisyphus. Sisyphus was the king and founder of the city of Corinth, and he was reputed to be the wisest and craftiest person alive in his day. And he had a habit of tricking the gods, and he did so repeatedly. And ultimately, the gods subjected him to a terrible curse. And it was that he'd be thrown in Hades with the task for all eternity of taking a huge boulder, rolling it up an enormous hill, struggling against all odds to get it to the top of that hill. And in every instance, as he reached the summit, it would slip out of his hands, roll back to the bottom of the hill, and he would have to start again. My friends, we have been at... Well, I appreciate that, but really, the hard work is still ahead of us, and you are the ones that deserve the credit for being willing to engage. Let us remember that after this board deliberates and makes its decisions tonight, there is another 5-member board made up of people and personalities and feelings and emotions and recollections about many things that have happened in the past that will have to be convinced that this, one, is a good solution, and two, this community in earnest is ready to move forward. So it's important that we characterize this proposal as a proposal by the CSD that has been developed with enormous care and thought, with significant input by the State Water Board. And I really believe the heavy lifting is still before us, but this is the most important step if we're going to get it done, what happens here tonight. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Director Sasania, do you have any questions or comments for the Assemblyman?
I would just like to say thanks to Sam, and no, I have no questions.
Okay, thank you. Director Tacker?
I want to thank you, of course. What you did was courageous in itself. I think this community has knocked on many elected officials' doors over the course of the saga to find disappointment. And you gave us hope. And I know it's just a baby step, but it is hope. And it's something we can hang on to. And you've done yourself proud.
Thank you, Julie.
I think we're all proud of you.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Sam. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Vice President Fouché.
Sam, I can't thank you enough either. You brought people to the table that were necessary to continue these discussions, and that was on you. And I just want to say that you got my vote next time.
This goes without saying. Before you guys go, I'd also like to recognize Mr. Blakeslee's wonderful aide, Christine Robertson, for all that she's done to help us with the process. Thank you very much. Okay. Does everybody have a copy of the proposal? Is anyone missing a copy? Does everybody have one? There's a few left up here, and I'm going to put it on the overhead as well. So there's a part to the proposal that you don't have, but if you found, there was another page called the preamble that I would like to read. This is the preamble to the proposal that was prepared, and I'd like to read that to start off the meeting. Okay, this is the preamble to the proposal. I'd like to read it, please. In good faith, understanding the history of Los Osos, understanding that the history of Los Osos sewer has been complex, a minimal delay. We are submitting this proposal to demonstrate that we are willing to make numerous concessions, which, if adopted, would reduce further conflict. We hereby make the following acknowledgments: that the groundwater quality in Los Osos is continuing to degrade because of continued use of septic tanks. That time is of the essence, and the LOCSD agrees to, whenever given discretion, to take any measures and expend funds as necessary to assure the quickest remedy. That this agreement in no way precludes any and all enforcement actions to be taken by the Central Coast Regional Board, nor does any agreement with the State Board in any way imply that penalties should not be imposed for past or future delays in construction of a complete wastewater facility. That's the preamble. And I'd like to just explain the process a little bit of how it went on, because, again, we all agreed that we would have a private week. We'd be working in confidence to see how we could work. I'd like to disclose that the attendees and participants in our negotiations were myself, President, and Vice President John Fouché, staff Interim General Manager Dan Blesky, on occasion our District Engineer Rob Miller, and the attendees from the State Water Board were Darren Polhemus from the State Financial Assistance Program, and Alan Lloyd, Dr. Alan Lloyd from Cal EPA on the phone, and Jerry Segundi, who is a State Water Board member recently appointed, and the county, Mr. David Edge and Pavel Ogren, came in for a little bit, and who am I missing? I think that's it. It was a small group, mostly the core people. Oh, and Christine Robertson, who you met tonight, and Mr. Sam Blakeslee. That was it. It was a small group. We worked very hard, and we took over the whole office. He shut down the office and closed the doors, and we got to work. We brought all our boards, our displays, our reports, and got to work. And we went through a pretty rigorous process together, first laying out the alternatives out of town that have been discussed and presented to around town. And we started running the numbers and crunching the numbers. We started looking at all the factors. There's many factors, as you know, that complicate the issues. We have construction in progress. We have contracts. We have a state loan that's been let. We have permits. We have a recall election. We have an initiative election. We have lots of lawsuits on various sides of issues challenging various aspects of the project. And we have construction on suspension currently. And we have a lot of people who are interested in the outcome of this meeting. So there were a lot of things to weigh when we were trying to make our decisions. And those all had to enter into the equation of what we were doing. So it wasn't black and white. It was a very complex matrix of items to explore. So the proposal before you tonight is what we came out after the week of negotiations. We submitted a proposal to the state, as Mr. Blakeslee. Thank you. Okay. Can everybody hear me okay? Or is it?
People would go out of the room to talk, it would be very helpful because it's very difficult to hear.
Okay, thank you.
People
Okay, if you do need to discuss, people are trying to hear and it is pretty crowded, so I would also ask that you try to respect your neighbors and we won't, we'll get farther along. Gave it back to us with their additions, with their amendments. So what you're seeing before you is an effort by both agencies. It's not all us, and it's not all them. It's a meshing of all of those. So that's what it is. And I think I should go through the points one by one so you know what the proposal is. And then I would like to make sure that I've covered everything with Mr. Fouché or staff. And if I miss anything, just join in. Okay, so I'm going to start going over the points. And I have them on the overhead as well. Most of you have a copy of this, but just a brief explanation of each of these points. The points were fairly simple, really. There's about 8 points, and that's it. And these are the points. The collection system work would resume immediately as currently designed. And most of you know that the current design system is a gravity collection system. So the current collection system would resume work immediately. The current disposal system would be included with that because the same contractors who work on the collection system work on the disposal system. So those design aspects are currently designed. The state would allow the CSD a maximum 2-year extension of their original timeline for the entire project, requiring milestones. And those of you who understand, milestones are a construction management term, which just means when will you get something done by, when will you get it done by? Who will do it by when? Kind of giving you a schedule to try to map out your timeline. And we went through that extensively and rigorously in the week's negotiations. So we believe that the 2 years is a reasonable schedule for those milestones that are required. The fourth requirement is that it assumes the MBR technology. That's the technology that's designed for downtown. It's called a membrane bioreactor treatment type technology because that's already designed. But it allows the CSD to conduct concurrent review of alternative technologies. Now, the audience may or may not know what this board is recommending and what many of the citizens have been recommending is a ponding technology out of town because of the reduced OM&R and the reduced costs to the citizens over the life of the project. So that's the top alternative that we're considering right now. That's the one we really want to recommend to the community. It's called a ponding technology using earthen ponds with excuse me. Director Tacker recommends that I tell you what OM&R means, and she's right. But the ponding technology can be used out of town with a gravity system, and the OM&R means operations, maintenance, and replacement costs. And because of the lower power requirements of this kind of system, the citizens would save substantially year after year after year in electrical costs, in staffing costs, in replacement costs for the pieces and parts. So the other reason we are supporting a ponding system is because we can deal with the sludge in a much better way. We aren't going to have to transport our sludge because their drinking water is being protected. So that's something we want to be able to do. You can't do that with a downtown plant. There is no ag exchange downtown. So if we put the plant out east, partner with the farmers, and get an ag exchange program going, that's another desirable part to the system that we're recommending. Excuse me. Now, here's a little bit more of a complicated part of the proposal. There's a series of votes that the State Water Board would like us to do, and we'd like to do it too, because we've always maintained that the citizens should have a vote on the project. We don't think they really did have a vote on the project, especially the loan, because none of us really voted on that big loan that is leaning your homes. And so we're going to try to make that right, and that's what all the voting is about. There's several votes that need to occur. One vote has to do with our own board. Our own board needs to make a vote that reaffirms that we all agree that if we build a plant, that we dedicate the source of revenue as being the revenues from the plant to pay for it when it's built, to the State Water Board. That's how we guarantee the loan. So that hasn't been done yet on a 5-0 vote or a 4/5 vote, and that's something that we have to make right. Another thing that we have to make right is a 218 vote. A lot of you have come up and said, I'm a property owner, and I didn't get to vote in this last election, and I have rights too, and we acknowledge those rights. You do have a right. These are your properties, and you'll be paying for them. So you're also paying for that loan. So this vote will allow you to have a say in the project. And the way they want the vote structured is to provide additional securitization for the State Revolving Fund loan, and we will set up an assessment vote within the next 3 to 6 months so you can vote to approve the collection and disposal portions of the project. That's what the state is asking us to do. They're asking for those parts to make sure that you, as property owners, are committed to building a project. And that vote needs to pass so we can continue to get the loan and build the project out of town. So that's one vote. That's another vote. And then the third vote has to do with Measure B. Now, Measure B was the measure that was passed recently to move the project out of town. The spirit of Measure B remains. We want to have a project that's not in close proximity to our schools and to our homes and to our churches and community center. There are some unintended consequences of Measure B that need to be fixed. And many of you have spoken and worried about Measure B, and many people in government are concerned about Measure B. So what we're proposing to do is to repeal Measure B when the Prop 218 vote passes to secure the project out of town. So that's another vote that is required. So we want to adopt the spirit of Measure B in our design and planning of a sewer project for our town. We want it out of town. We want these new water quality goals. We want to get more bang for our buck. We don't want to truck or sludge. You know, we want room to be able to do this and use a project that uses less energy. All these sustainable goals that I think everybody at one time really wanted, we still want those. And we want to take out the onerous parts of Measure B that would make it very difficult for us to ever approve one site. And many of you have spoken about that. So that's kind of the proposal in a nutshell. And of course, we had a really great meeting of the minds this week, and they really understood our commitment to clean water, and they were very impressed with the amount of information that we brought in the room. And they were also very agreeable that the project out of town was the best way to go. They really saw it. They saw it from a cost aspect, and they saw it from a meeting water quality aspect. They saw that we could meet more goals, get more bang for the state's money by going out of town. I mean, that's what penciled out after the whole week. It really did work that way. So again, additional water quality commitments, ag exchange. We'd like to establish a septic tank management district immediately. We want to get going on this water conservation as soon as possible. We want to begin immediate exploration of how to pump down the upper aquifer to allow for further nitrification in the soil mix. And for the non-technical people in the audience, that just means is we're not getting denitrification naturally by our septic tanks because the groundwater table's too high. We'd like to pump it down further. So the septic tanks, until we get built, will further reduce pollution. And then finally, we want to explore implementation of a production well in the east. If we go east, we want to look into water. And we can reduce the pumping on this side of the town, reducing saltwater intrusion, which we know that's a problem as well. So we want to attack all these things that we now know from all the great studies that we did. All these great studies have been done. Let's use the results and get a better project. So the benefits, construction resumes, we save money, we're not paying contractors to sit around. If the project addresses more deferred costs, so again, more bang for the buck. The out-of-town location creates an opportunity to sewer locations outside the prohibition zone. Now, you may think this is strange if you're paying and your neighbors are not, but we've learned from talking to people that a lot of people that aren't being hooked up might want to hook up. I know that might surprise you, but they don't want to do their septic tanks in their yards anymore, and they'd rather have a sewer. So we're going to explore that option with the homeowners in Cabrillo Estates and other places and see how they feel about that. Is that a few people that have been talking to us, or is that a general consensus? We're going to look into that. And then with a new assessment district, boundaries could be redrawn to include a larger portion of the community, including those currently outside the prohibition zone. And finally, an alternative site out of town would provide ample room for administrative office space, biosolids, that's the sludge I was telling you about, and further modifications that might be necessary. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now. And that's it in a nutshell. And again, the negotiations were I can't say enough about Mr. Blakesley and Ms. Robertson or Mr. Paul Hamas. They were right in there negotiating with us. And I can't say enough about my friend and fellow vice president, Mr. Fouché, and Mr. Blesky and Mr. Miller, too. It was a great experience, and I appreciate that it happened. It was really great. So. So I'd like to open it up now to board questions and comments. Mr. Sasania, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
Not right now.
Okay. Mr. Sennett?
You know, I've been thinking about all the, and you have to realize that you're not going to progress without taking people with you. And you do that by building consensus. It's kind of like trying to get your kids to go in a car on a trip they don't want to go on. Sometimes you have to deal with them, because if you don't, you'll have a meltdown. And we're about at meltdown right now. So I hope everybody appreciates the position that we're in at this time. And the significant event with coming with these negotiations and agreements, that it affords us an opportunity to dig our way out of this hole we've been digging ourselves into the past couple of years. Someone once said, if you find yourself digging yourself in a hole, stop digging, and this is our opportunity. Thank you.
Director Tucker, do you have anything at this time? Vice President.
I'll make it quick. I'm sure everybody's anxious to speak. I just want to let people know that when we did these negotiations last week, we were thinking about the whole community, and we had to consider that every step of the way. So while this may not be the perfect solution and satisfy everybody's wants and desires, I think it's the best thing that we can do for the whole community. And I want you to hopefully understand that and think about that, what we're trying to do. We have to take responsibility for our water quality issues. We have a serious saltwater intrusion that's happening today at about 50 feet, a rate of 50 feet per year. That is our drinking water supply, and we have to start implementing solutions to mitigate that intrusion. So these are some of the very important and complex things that we've been thinking about for the last week. We also considered very strongly the meaning and the value of the SRF loan itself. That's worth a lot of money. That's interest that we don't have to pay, that the citizens don't have to pay back. It's a 2.3% loan. And there's a lot of value in that loan when you're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars, our dollars, your taxpayers' dollars. So we had to consider that very seriously. So I just want you to know there was other considerations besides just a treatment facility and a collection system. It's taking responsibility for our town, for our water, and moving forward and trying to get this thing behind us. I think everybody wants to get this behind us. In the best way that we can do it. So anyway, I've said enough. Thank you.
Mr. Blesky, do you have anything to add? Or Mr. Miller, anything to add? What I'd like to do now is I'm going to take a five-minute break and get back to, if you want to speak first, public comment cards I'd like to receive. We're going to do 3 minutes first, and if you want to speak and leave, give me your cards first. And you don't have to have a card if you... How flower pedestal. Everybody, could you please take your seats? We're about to get started. I'm still collecting speaker cards if you want to speak early. You do not need one if you don't want one. But if you want to speak in order, please bring me a speaker card. 3-minute public comment for everybody to start. Okay, could everybody please take their seats? Thank you, everybody. I'm just about to open up public comment, but I'd like to remind everybody of the ground rules tonight, and they're up on the board. Just ask you to please stay on the topic, and the topic is the proposal in front of you, the State Water Board loan, the ISA loan, and the proposal that we negotiated with the State Water Board this week. And again, explaining the reason you can't talk about the fines today is because the regional board was not in on these negotiations, and I can explain why. It may seem strange, but the way that the state arranges the regional and state water boards, the state board is the appellate body for the regional board's actions. So they could not allow any discussion of the regional board within our discussions about the loan. So that's why there's that preamble phrase that I read all about the fines and stuff. They're the appellate body, so they can't mix right now. So that's why the fines are kind of out of the subject tonight. It's about the loan and the contracts and the proposal before you. And again, asking for your politeness and civility, and we're asking very much for your constructive comment. We are very anxious to hear from you about this very complex issue. So I'm going to start with the speaker cards, and then we'll open it up to anybody who wants to speak. Once again, 3 minutes first. You'll get a minute follow-up after the end of after everybody's had a chance to speak. It's just a minute. Oh, okay, so I'd like to start with Marla Starr, followed by Matt Clark.
Before everybody speaks to the topics, President Schickler, members of the board, I'm Marla Starr. I live in Los Osos. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that you are inviting and utilizing the democratic process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Matt Clark, followed by Dave Gilliland.
Hi, board. Hi, Los Osos. My name is Matthias Clark, and I am representing Katie Franklin also, my partner. Katie sent me here with something to read into the video record here. I would like to endorse the proposal for a lower cost out-of-town option. I would like to support a change for Measure B as long as the spirit of Measure B is honored. Thank you for finding a great option for our community and to everyone involved. And I'd like to say that I've come here on numerous occasions to explain why a sewer in the middle of town is unconscionable and wrongheaded. And I seem to be in the majority that there cannot be a project of that magnitude and that technology planted there in the middle of my town. And what we want, and the reason we voted for Measure B, was so that the project would be sited properly. And everybody I've spoken to in construction and people, I'm not a very smart guy about any of this stuff, but what little I've dug around and found out, all the evidence weighs to the common sense of that. And from what I understand, it seems like it's going to be a much less expensive construction project, and it's going to allow us to have a lagoon for sludge and not have to be trucking 3 or 4 trucks a week on Los Osos Valley Road all the way down to Santa Maria. I'm glad that that's happening. And I'd like to say I also really support the Ag Exchange in this, and I really support the water resource, water conservation program, which I don't understand hasn't been done in the last 5 years, why it hasn't been done, and the saltwater intrusion problem. Anyway, you guys are doing an absolutely great job. Thanks again to Senator Blakeslee from my family and our extended family. And we're here to say this sewer must be built away from the center of town. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dave Gilliland, followed by Sharon Frederick.
Hi, I'm Dave Gilliland, and thanks for all your hard work, and thanks for all the work it took before you even got to this point, because I know you haven't stopped for years now. So I really appreciate it, and I'm sure a lot of other people do, too. The getting it moved out of town is one of the best things we can hear, that it is going to be moved from that site. Working on getting more money to help us pay for the thing, no matter where we build it, is another big issue that we need to not stop looking at, trying to work on getting more money to help the homeowners and renters and everybody to be able to pay for this thing every month once it's built. I do support you accepting this so we can get moving forward at digging these streets back up and getting it the pipe in. We definitely got to get, as long as we're moving forward, no one can stop us at putting it out of town. So I really appreciate you guys' hard work. And you have a great community that will be behind you. So keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Sharon Frederick, followed by Kelly Lewis.
Good evening. Sharon Frederick, Prohibition Zone taxpayer. I want to remind the community that the Measure B passed, slightly passed. I want to remind the community that we slightly lost the election. That's an unfortunate thing that happened, but we're here where we are. I'm also disappointed Sam Blakeslee left. I will be meeting with him Tuesday to show my disappointment. He doesn't have my vote, and I will make sure I work very hard to organize that he is not reelected. I'm very concerned about Monterey Mechanics. These are fabulous people and a wonderful construction company, and they're going to sue us. And they put their livelihood at risk. That's not okay. Not okay for you as citizens to do that to them. What's the current financial situation of the CSD District Water Wastewater Fund? How much does the CSD owe or has been paid the contractors for the suspension of work to date? What is the plan to pay for the necessary research and redesign of a possible new location? Please show us the cash flow. What is the bond council's opinion of the deal's impact on the existing assessment district? And what's the regional quality board staff opinion? I know the taxpayers won't support this. It's a foolhardy proposal, and I'm sorry we wasted a lot of time and also embarrassed our community again. Thank you.
Thank you. Kelly Lewis, followed by Pam Oakes.
Kelly Lewis, Los Osos. Thank you. I had something to say, but wow. embarrass our community. I'm sorry, but we're here because the waste that was put into that hole over there before we were allowed to vote on this issue. And I want to say I appreciate Sam Blakeslee coming to the table when nobody else would, working for this community to reach a compromise. Compromise is sometimes difficult. And when I look at this compromise, I have some fear. And when I see that you're going to have an assessment vote, and if that assessment vote fails, then this project goes back. And we already voted, this community voted to move that sewer out of town for a more affordable solution. An assessment vote, I believe, is property owners only. That vote is what got us into this hole. Although they thought they were voting for a ponding system under the solutions group, they got this monstrosity over here. That's the one thing that concerns me about this compromise. It's a compromise that almost gives up the ship, and that's slightly frightening. And it's something that we need to come together as a community and see that, yes, it's a compromise, and it hurts somewhat, but we have to come together, and I don't get a vote. But we got to move this thing out of town, and it needs to be affordable. And you know, I'm trusting you guys. You know, I appreciate you, and thanks for all your work.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Pam Oakes, followed by Joey Ricano. Oh, pardon me for just a minute, Ms. Oakes. Director Sennett?
I'd like to remind the audience to please refrain from expressing approval, disapproval, or whatever. People are making up their own minds. I don't think that, you know, when you express your opinion from your seat, you're somehow depreciating the significance of the podium. And I don't think people need to be swayed one way or the other with your support or acknowledgement of disappointment or anything like that. So please, just listen to people and be polite, kind. Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Oakes.
Hi, Pam Oakes, Los Osos, and president of LADA. First of all, I have a question for the board. Is this decision going to be made tonight that you're going to go with what we've been presented? Are you going to vote on that tonight? Okay, so.
No.
When will you be voting on this?
Ms. Oakes, if you could go through your whole speech. Tonight we are taking public comment, and we will be either making a recommendation to put forth a resolution or not. We'll ask directing staff to do that.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be giving tentative support or rejection tonight.
Okay, great. Thank you. I just have some paperwork, and I'm going to give to Dan, but I wanted to point out that the formation of the Los Osos CSD was actually based on Proposition 218. They used it to form the CSD. I have all the paperwork here. And a lot of people still don't know a lot of about Proposition 218. And I want to explain it real quickly, is that they did not give us our Proposition 218 right to vote on taxes act before the loan was signed and money was given out, which they knew they were doing something wrong there. We were to get that 218 vote. Now, also, I wanted to present also to Dan, there is a proposal here by the McNeil Company. Not that I'm promoting them necessarily. It's just something I got today. But they do 100% financing, design, they build, and finance. And it's terrific. And I think rather than going with a loan that we know was not done in a legal fashion, I still firmly believe to do it right and follow the law. They did not give us our Prop 218 vote first, period. And I think we deserve that. They allocated money and gave the first installment knowing that they did not do this the legal way, the proper steps. Let me just get my other notes here real quick. I know I'm going to run out of time. So, again, the state board didn't follow the law, and it's a federal law, too, because the state revolving fund monies are federal monies. The only one that can really help is the governor. The governor, they only report to the governor. That's their boss. He's going to be in town this Thursday. He hasn't addressed, I know there's been letters that have been sent to him, faxes, hundreds of people. Has there been any reaction from him at all, any response? He'll be at the Madonna Inn 7:30 to 8:30 on Thursday. And, okay, so I guess my time is out. And I understand from legal counsel, because LOT is a nonprofit, yes, I can come back and talk on behalf of other directors.
Mr. McClendon, will you just weigh in on that for me, please? Ms. Oakes is president of an organization, and her members are absent tonight.
It's my understanding, and speaking with her during a break, that they're a 501c3 California nonprofit, and they're not bound by Brown Act or any type of rules like that. If she's been delegated to speak on behalf of individual members, she can do so.
So she can speak again? Is that what you're saying?
That's a policy issue for you, if you'd like to allow her to read in comments from other members who aren't here.
Ms. Oakes, we'll come back later.
Yeah, I want everybody to be allowed to speak, and I don't want to take up everybody's time, but present again.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ricano, Joey Ricano, followed by Don Bearden.
Honorable directors, staff, friends at home, Joey Ricano, Ocean Outfall Group. I would like to speak tonight in support of this proposal. This proposal addresses satisfactorily all of the water quality issues that the Ocean Outfall Group has had. I especially like the ag exchange. I like the idea of a recycling and addressing saltwater intrusion problems. I'd like to take a moment to remind the community that they stood quite united in the recent election. Some people would like to say that it was a 19-vote margin, but that doesn't really tell the story because with all of the shenanigans that went on, it still was a clean sweep across the board. And I think that the community basically will stand united behind this unprecedented display of leadership and cooperation by the State Water Resource Control Board, Assemblyman Sam Blakesley, and this great board of directors. And I urge you to adopt this proposal and move forward and save the dream of a affordable out-of-town sewer. Thank you for this opportunity to address the board.
Thank you, Mr. Marcano. Mr. Don Bearden, followed by Ann Calhoun.
If we can build a waste treatment plant out of town for the same money as the one in town, and the water boards have given us two more years to do it, then we ought to get moving on it. I don't know where the hypothetical Andre site is, but along with it, you ought to consider the sites that the county did so much work on in 1997. See if there are still possibilities. The sites were Turi, Pismo, and Cordonez. I looked up an oxidation ditch treatment system and saw that the city of Ashland, Oregon, has such a system just about the same size as the one we would need. We need to see if such a system can be built out of town cheaper than the present system out of town. In the meantime, let's get the work on the collection system resumed tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ann Calhoun, followed by Dr. Pravin Buddha.
Ann Calhoun, Los Osos, had a couple of questions. First, certainly a lot of thanks to Sam Blakesley. It's kind of really cool to see a public servant who remembered what the words public service is all about. The required assessment vote that this compromise, it says, requires, would that only be for property owners or the whole community? In other words, would that assessment vote be like a real Prop 218 vote, or is this something simply that is simply required by the State Water Board so they can set up whatever kind of vote they want? The other question, the old board asked for and got waivers when they missed milestones due to unavoidable delays from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I'm assuming, maybe I better not assume, I'll ask, will the same thing apply in this case? If you start to build a project, you've got to meet milestones, but you've got to have some wiggle room in there for meteorites falling out of the sky and other odd things that can happen. And so the devil is in the detail, and I'm hoping that that kind of stuff will be in any contracts where you will have a similar kind of thing. As for the additional water quality commitments, I'm really pleased to see this aggressively pursued, because one of the comments I had, you know, this really is all about water. You can always get nitrates out of water, but you can't get more water out of no water. So anything we can do to increase our water is all for the good, and again, more bang for the buck. So as for the rest, I guess we'll just have to see how it kind of shakes down, but thank you all again.
Thank you, Ms. Calhoun. Answers to your questions briefly. The required assessment vote is for property owners. That's a real 218 vote for property owners. And the balance will come from the Measure B vote, which will include all the residents of Los Osos. So we're trying to cover the votes so everybody still has a say. It's going to be a balance between those two votes. And the milestones that we anticipated on a two-year schedule were without unforeseen events. And there are always unforeseen events, and we those were not calculated into our time, and we would assume that unforeseen events would allow us more time. And we're going to check that out for sure. Dr. Buddha, followed by Bob Kreiser.
President Shikhar and the board, I'm Pravin Buddha, resident of Los Osos. I want to thank Assemblyman Blakesley, the water board, and our team that went into this negotiation and worked out a proposal. I support the proposal, and I urge the board to get the sewer in place as quickly as possible. That's what it's all about. I'm happy that the plant, there is an option to move the treatment plant out of sight. Mainly, my concern has always been health and safety reasons. Finally, if we are able to move the plant out of town, I would like the board and Assemblyman Blakesley to get the help to put a park, a real park, community park, at the current site. We need it. Our community needs a park, and this is an opportunity if we move the sewer out.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bob Kreiser, followed by Don Asquith.
Hi, I'm Bob Kreiser, Los Osos. First, I knew I voted for the project that it's under construction next door, the last Prop 218 vote that I voted on. So to say that we were thinking of a ponding system is incorrect. I knew exactly what I was voting on. A Prop 218 vote is a vote of the property owners, as mentioned previously, and the property owners voted to pay a $20 million bond issue. The property owners had a 218 vote to decide that. Your next 218 vote will probably not pass. The State Water Board requires that we, the property owners, agree to pay back any funds borrowed from the SRF if, in fact, the project that you guys go to work on somehow gets stalled or stopped. I'm not going to pay as a property owner. I'm not going to vote to pay something that gets stopped. I promise you that the property owners will not support a vote that will cause them harm that the will of the CSD can enact. We, the property owners, will already be harmed by the $20 million assessment that we are committed to pay at this point. It's been explained to us that we don't get to recover that fund. So we've already done a 218 vote and are now losing $20 million based on that. In addition, the $20 million spent, we will cancel a contract on the Tri-W site that will probably cost us close to $10 million. So at that point, we'll think about moving the plant out of town and have a $30 million commitment at that point, already spent out of our pockets that we have no choice over. The people that are bearing the cost of your decision today will be the property owners. So we really hope that you take those people into consideration. The majority of the vote that put you people here were not the property owners. They were public at large. I understand how that works, but in the next vote you will have, you will not have a blending of Measure B. You will have only a Prop 218 vote. There isn't any way the public at large is going to make a decision on the next plant, okay? All the votes will be Prop 218 votes. So thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Mr. Kreiser. Don Asquith, followed by Marty Lindholm.
Don Asquith, Los Osos. I have one simple question. Can you please clarify the phrase maximum two-year extension as to whether that is exactly what it says or whether that is a two-year extension plus court time?
I can tell you that in the negotiations, we worked on a two-year timeline to meet all county and state planning and permit requirements. And that was what we developed the two-year timeline from.
So if the CSD is sued somewhere along in this two-year period, does the time continue or does it be time out, just like it has been for the previous CSD people? Can you?
We did not ask, and they did not answer. I'm just telling you that we developed our timeline on the permitting requirements, and unforeseen events are unforeseen events, and they've happened before, and they will happen again. We all know that.
So this could be 10 years.
I don't believe so. Thank you, Mr. Asquith. Marty Lindholm, followed by Vivian McNeil.
Good evening, Board of Directors. Thank you for your hard work, and thank you to Sam Blakesley for his hard work, and thank you for the water quality people who have come together, and for the good work that you've put in on this. My heart goes out to you because our community has been so divided on this. It's a time to come together. It's a time to think positively. And it's a time when we can move forward. We are at the top of the mountain. And we can be Sisyphus. And we can let the boulder roll down the hill. Or we can go forward. And we have heard the discouraging words. And I choose not to think that way. I choose to think that we can make a difference. I choose to think that the 2 years can be the outside 2 years. We can do it within 2 years. We can move ahead under the 2 year limit. We can have the election, the 218, be March or June, and we can move forward. We don't have to have the rancor. None of us wants to have the sewer in the middle of town. None of us wants to see the sewer. None of us wants to have a playground around a sewer. Sell the property next door and use the money to help defray the cost. The sewer outside of town will be less expensive. We all know that. We have a beautiful beach right over the hill. We don't need a park next door. That's an excuse to have the sewer next door. Let the children play at the beach. We have an opportunity here to have a less expensive sewer out of sight, a water quality that will help the egg business, that will be less expensive. It'll help the people of our community. It will get this over with. And all I can say is it's a time to come together. And I pray that we do. And thank you so much for all your good work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Vivian McNeil, followed by Mr. Stuart Dinker.
Vivian McNeil, Los Osos, property owner. Like Mr. Kreiser, I voted for the assessment vote, knowing what was going to go on the Tri-W site. I read the engineer's report and all of the associated reports and studies that have been done. I am curious to know when... If you move the project out of town, what happens to my assessment that I prepaid, the full amount, along with many of my neighbors? They're asking me that question, and I don't know the answer to it. Also, I am one of the bondholders for that assessment. What happens to my money that I put into that assessment bond? So I would like those answers at some point. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ms. McNeil. Mr. McClendon, would you care to register an opinion on the assessment and the bondholders for the assessment? Or Mr. Miller?
I haven't seen the official statement for this assessment that was passed by your voters. However, it's typical that there's bondholder covenants and it pledges a revenue stream. So to the extent someone is a bondholder, they avail themselves of those covenants with the right to receive that revenue stream. So there must be that put in place through the Prop 218 vote that would protect the bondholders in any event.
Okay, Mr. Miller, do you have anything to add at this time?
Yes, just briefly, because it deals with both this question and also other questions that we've heard so far, and that is, the assessment vote that was done in 2001 is a means of security for the bondholders, because now there's a lien, which is a claim to real property, that if we fail to pay that portion of our property tax, then ultimately that those properties can be foreclosed to satisfy that commitment to repay those bond funds. The one reason that the state is asking for an assessment vote is so that they would have some security to make sure they're repaid. And there's two ways to do that. One is a normal assessment vote like is being proposed in this plan, which is a majority vote of the property owners. The other way is a special tax, similar to the fire tax, but that requires a two-thirds majority of all the registered voters. So there's really two methods of providing that security, but the assessment vote is probably the more appropriate method in this case. So,
thank you for that clarification. Mr. Denker, Stuart Denker, followed by Leonard Ambrosio, speaking.
Good evening. Excuse my confusion. I thought there was somebody in front of me. Good evening, President Schicker and the board. I, too, am grateful that Sam Blakeslee came forward and got this board to discuss serious issues with the representatives of the Water Board. I'm not one of those people who has been eager to see the project moved away from the site over here. I remain personally dedicated to that earlier proposition, and I am mildly pleased that your proposal summary says that should everything fall apart with respect to the replacement of Measure B and the additional securitization through an assessment vote, the original project will be built. Am I reading that correctly? Well, I find some comfort in that. I'm also pleased with the recognition by your board of the value of the SRF low-interest loan. There have been many speakers who have addressed you through the past several months about what a terrible thing it was to obligate ourselves to this ridiculous loan of 2.5% interest. I'm pleased that you see value in it. In your paragraph about the benefits of the proposal, line 3 speaks about the out-of-town location creating an opportunity to sewer locations outside of the prohibition zone. My question is, are there assurances that the opportunity to sewer locations outside of the prohibition zone, that will not trigger suburban sprawl, the growth of the burbs on in in ad infinitum toward the San Luis Obispo. I know that you don't have control over zoning, but I don't have complete confidence in our county's lack of firmness about preventing suburbs from just continually spreading. I find the ag exchange idea interesting and valuable, but I hope ag exchange doesn't become a play of words where ag land is converted into suburban land. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Denker. Mr. Ambrugio, followed by Roger Anderson after Mr. Ambrugio.
I would like to thank you, John, and you, Lisa, for doing such a good job trying to take this sewer out of town. I'm very appreciative of that. I'm going to repeat what already has been said, but what I'm doing is I'm trying to follow what the Sunday Tribune today was all about the deal. That's what I'm... Maybe there are a lot of questions that I have asked, I'm going to ask, but probably they've been answered, and maybe you could answer some that have not been answered. Of course, now is to move, this is what the Tribune said. I followed what the Tribune had said in their column in today's paper, to move the sewer out of town, which I appreciate that. And then it says, in 2 years period, when does the two periods start? This period includes the entire operation of the sewer. Then says the construction will continue, that is, laying the pipes in the street. No more septic system or any type of system that the community wants. What kind of a sewer the state, what kind of sewer the state wants? And there is no mention going to present the excavation on the Los Osos Valley Road and Palisade Avenue. The contractor has moved tons of sand from this area. What is the next step, and can the contract sue the CSD? That's very important. Then says the deal to contract the disposal system above the Bronson Avenue, and the future is the liquefaction, and the houses are flooded or the foundation are damaged. Who's responsible, the CSD, the state, or the county? And then, of course, is the regarding to the Measure B. And I still don't understand why the state wants to repeal the measure. Now, you got to be very careful about this thing here, because why is it that the state wants, because we voted on that Measure B. There's something behind it. You'd be very careful, because these guys, they could always say, oh, that's not true. Since they control the money, then we'll go back again to A1. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Just some quick answers to Mr. Ambrugio's questions. The two-year time window is a two-year extension beyond current construction, so that's December 2009, for the plant only. What kind of sewer were we recommending? It looks like we're going to have gravity collection, and we're recommending a ponding system out of town with all those additional things. The disposal fields at Broderson, we're looking at possibly reducing the amount of water that would be used there as we develop the ag exchange program, so the liquefaction risk would not be as great a concern of or any concern, because we would only be using it for wet weather storage in the winter, and it will not be built first. And then I would like to Measure B. The reasons that Measure B, we're looking at repealing it, is because it may be too onerous to ever get any project built because of its voting requirements. And many people have pointed that out to us. And the spirit of Measure V is very much alive. We're not going to give that up. We want the project out of town. So I just want to ask Mr. Blesky one question about the contractors and suing.
I think I had Madam President, there was two in there. One was, what are we going to do with Tri-W right now? I just want to let you know that I've already met with Monterey Mechanical on Friday night. I took them out to dinner, and it cost me personally. And my boss said, no, it's not coming out of the district. So I stood them up twice, and their leadership had come down to sit down and talk about options. They have some concerns, but we're still in discussions with them. Currently on Tri-W, the county has a requirement that we make sure, and there is a plan in place right now, to winterize that site. And it means that we're going to build a an interim detention basin, and that design is done. And that's what we're currently looking at right now. There are some other opportunities out there that we're exploring for meaningful work that meets the spirit of this agreement, if that's in fact what we get. But primarily we're looking at taking advantage of the schedule slippage that's provided in the contract today and the contractor's requirements and getting the thing weatherized. So it's a little bit fluid right now, but we got a plan. The other question was on
about suing.
Anybody can sue. Well, actually, I think that's for the attorney, but let me just kind of take a little liberty here, please. Yeah, they can sue us for anything, but I've spoken with the contractors, and we have a negotiation coming up that's outside of this agreement to deal with the delay costs. And I spoke with the pipeline contractors, and what their intention is to look for ways to take those impacts and mitigate them in their schedule. Now, is that going to get us to a zero base? I don't know. It's too early to say. But I did talk to Bernard Construction today, and they're willing to sit down and talk about how we're going to get them whole. And then what remedies we have as a district has yet to be discussed.
Yes, one more question, please.
The only thing that I have to say about this is, they knew, all the contractors knew, that we had a vote coming. And it's their tough luck that they went through with this thing here. They shouldn't pay, you guys shouldn't pay nothing to them. Refuse it. That's what the people want. The people control this country, and the people control this community. They should get no money at all from us. That's what they should do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ambrugio. Roger Anderson, followed by George Taylor.
Roger, excuse me. Roger Anderson. I live in Morro Bay. I lived here for 2.5 years, and at my wife's strong request, I did not get involved in this topic. I want to commend your negotiating team for getting together, and also Sam Blakesley, and working on something that was at times, I'm sure, I read the article in the paper this morning, and I told my wife, Stevie, I'm going to go to that meeting tonight, because there is a chance for a healing to take place in this community that has been, you know, divided. You're very much aware of that. You were involved in it. And I admire you for being willing to serve. I've served 4 elected terms, and it's not always easy. The thing that the previous speaker perhaps doesn't fully appreciate, and I do and I know you do, is that there are agencies above local agencies that can and will impose their wishes and their demands on a small agency if compliance isn't there. I sat on the NEP board for a number of years, the National Estuary Program Board, and there were some in this community who were in denial over there even being a need for a sewer system. It seems the community, for the most part, is beyond that denial, and that's a good thing. That's part of the healing. I hope that the two of you can convince the rest of your board to preserve the loan. That's the subject I'm going to try, and that's what I should be addressing. It's a chance to get the project done and have you and the community participate in what the project will end up being, not having something imposed upon you because it blew up. And I'm glad the wheels haven't fallen off. I'm glad that things are moving forward, as difficult as it may be for you. Sometimes you have to make decisions that are not popular but are right. And If you can educate the public well enough, then they'll be popular too, and I wish you the best of luck there. whatever the plant ends up being, I'm glad that the local participation won't be lost, and it seems that that's going to be the case. So please, I urge you to convince the rest of your board members to back you up on this.
Thank you, sir. Mr. George Taylor, followed by Vita Miller.
Good evening, board. George Taylor, a 33-year resident of Los Osos, and very proud of it. I can't thank the members that participated in this negotiating session enough. From the bottom of my heart, I know how difficult it was, and you did a fabulous job. And I thank Sam Blakesley for throwing his hat in this. It was not an easy decision for him, but I commend him for doing so. I want to make this short, but I do have grave... I think the proposal is really basically very, very sound. The only thing I have a problem with is the 218 vote, because I... Prior to the previous 218 vote, I did a very in-depth study of exactly how the votes were going to be divided. And when that when I came to the conclusion that there was no way that that 218 vote could possibly fail, I knew that the game was rigged. And I don't want to go through that again. I want you to look at this thing from a standpoint that we all live here, not just the property owners. It has to be for everybody that lives here. They have to have a say in what is done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Vita Miller, followed by Ray Bracken.
Hi, I'm Vita Miller. I think it's 31-year resident here of Los Osos. I've been a property owner for the last 25 years. I took part in the assessment district vote. There was nothing on the ballot that told me that the sewer was going to be built in that location, and there was nothing on the ballot that told me that it was going to be a mechanical sewer system. I do have much gratitude for all of you, for all your hard work, for the state board being willing to negotiate, and, of course, for the assemblyman, and he did an absolutely wonderful job. I'm here to say that I'm here to help you to achieve all of your goals, to build an environmentally superior system at an environmentally superior site outside of town, and that was the majority vote. And I believe that's what the majority vote stood for when our three new board members were elected. I, too, have some concerns about the 218 assessment vote. And, Lisa, you mentioned something about a balance with a Measure B-type vote. So I wasn't quite understanding what you meant, but I certainly hope there's some way that all of the registered voters in the community will have a right to have a say on whatever system you finally determine to be the right system. And I also hope that somehow in your negotiations with the State Water Quality Control Board, it will be clear that if an alternative system is found that has been proven to work in other areas, that they can't just come down on us and clamp down on us for whatever reasons, for some petty reasons, to try to go back to the old system. I would ask that there be something included in your negotiations that says that no property owner will lose their home as a result of whatever system is built. And I think that certainly the assemblyman and his family, they're financial gurus, and maybe they can help us to develop something that says that people who own a home here now, who don't want to lose their home, would have a method of some kind of delayed payment. I'm not talking about a reversal, one of those home reversal things, because I believe that means they lose out now. But I mean when their homes are sold eventually, that somehow their payments would be made at that time. And I do hope that you will do something that includes all of the property owners outside the current prohibition zone. I think that many people have felt all along that was very unfair. If truly a sewer system is going to clean our water and going to protect our bay, then everybody benefits from that. Doesn't matter how much your ground, how high your home is above the groundwater. It has to do with cleaning up our bay. And also the septic management district. I applaud you, and I hope that that you're able to put that in place. Of course, that was mandated, I believe, many years ago. Never enacted, never any fines for that. So please, let's make sure that that gets done now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Mr. Bracken? Gail McPherson after Mr. Bracken.
Yeah. Madam President, members of the board, my name is Ray Bracken, and I got George Taylor beat. I've lived here for 42 years. And, of course, I've watched this system over the last 30 years and have been involved in some of the early stages of it. I have a couple of comments and then some questions on the proposal. First, I, too, would like to commend you for agreeing to go into this negotiation and put everything on the table. That was crucial. And I think one of the most important issues before you is take whatever steps necessary to prevent the loss of that state loan. I think that is critical to the whole thing. And it would be devastating to the community if we did lose that and we'd have to really start over with the whole process. I was pleased to see that the collection system work would resume immediately. I think that's important, and that it would continue with the current disposal system as currently designed. And my question is, does that mean that the STEG system that some have proposed is now a dead issue? Because I have some serious reservations about that, even though, yes, it would be cheaper to install. But what's often left out is the high maintenance cost, the high energy cost to have a grinder pump at each septic tank, and the problems with that type of system that when we looked at it in the mid-'80s, the engineer says, I would recommend not going in that way for that reason. It is energy intense. The other is that on the vote to comply with the legal requirements and reaffirm that the board would commit to a dedicated source of revenue for repayment of loan. Could you define that a little more carefully there for me? And also, I, too, was one of those who voted for the Tri-W plant at that site, and I knew why I was voting for it, and I think that your number two proposal or preamble to the proposal is that time is of the essence, and that whenever given discretion to take any measures and expend funds as necessary to assure the quickest remedy, and we all know that the quickest remedy is to proceed with the existing site at the Tri-W. It's funded, it's designed, it's mitigated, it would be a good neighbor, and I think that it's more efficient to have a site centrally located. That has proven to be the case in many communities, to have fine residential homes within reasonable proximity. It's not a conventional sewer system with the proposed odors. It's one that's very sophisticated and designed to not allow odors to escape. Centrally location is very efficient in the collection system, too. Finally, I have reservations about locating out of town. If that can be accomplished, fine, I'll support it. If it doesn't mean starting over and winding up costing more than the existing system. And I'm afraid if we try to move the existing system, that very well may be the case when you consider all of the paperwork and all of the delays that would ensue. And finally, I have reservations about a type of a ponding system that is proposed. When we looked into those early on, there was a question about whether or not it would meet the stringent water quality control discharge requirement. And does it have a track record in the state of California, this type of system, and will it meet the requirement? And from the word go, we have always said that this should be a water reclamation project, and that I'm concerned that if we go through that system, we would not be able to have the same water reclamation that this project would perform. So I appreciate your efforts. Thank you and good luck.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Bracken. Quick answers to your questions. Currently, Step SEG is off the table. It's going to be a gravity system. When we did the work in the group, the numbers didn't pencil out, in particular because of the state revolving funds requirements for certain aspects. If we want state revolving fund money, we could do Step SEG, but we have lots of requirements to meet. When you meet all these requirements, the price went up. And the price was, as Mr. Bracken stated, mostly in the O&M, the operation and maintenance end of the project, that kind of kicked it out of gear, with an addition to our current parameters, which is a loan in place, contractors on the ground. You throw in every factor, and the price did not pencil out, and that's what Mr. Bracken, I think, was saying. His question about a dedicated source of revenue vote, the past board did not pass a dedicated source of revenue vote. They passed it on a 3-2 vote. And it's our belief, and there's lawsuits about that right now against the CDSD, that a 4/5 vote is required. So we would reaffirm that vote with a 4/5 vote to make sure that we give the state their guarantees that they should require. And finally, the reason that the speaker was asking about the most expeditious way, that most expeditious way is not putting the plant downtown, only because we have Measure B of a group of candidates who ran on a Move the Sewer platform, and legal ramifications of Measure B and concerns about its location. So thank you for your comments, and I'd like to ask Ms. McPherson, and then David Dugan is next after that.
Good evening. What a nice meeting this is. I appreciate everyone's being civil and brief. I first want to say thank you to you and for having the wherewithal to go through this last week. I know that was very difficult. And I want to also thank the people at the state, starting with Darren Palhemas and, of course, Celeste Cantu. And then our new chair at the state, Tam Dudak. Sam Blakesley was wonderful and... That goes without saying, I guess, that he just had to take on this role, and it was good. I guess I'd like to say that we've been writing letters, and I wouldn't want that to stop. I think we should be writing some letters of thank you to these people. The more time that we delay, of course, causes harm, and we've heard that on both sides, but we also know that the greatest harm and the greatest risk is what was before us. It was hugely expensive, and it's noted in your process this last week that all of the systems that you looked at, including this one out of town, were less expensive. That's really important for the people to know. I don't know how many homeowners or property owners would vote against an assessment knowing that they're going to pay less than this. And that's going to be important. We need to do our workshops. We need to have the numbers that the state went over with us, because they are the experts. They fund these, and they know what we were proposing. They knew we had a plan at the end of this week. There was not. The truth is, we had a plan. And so the spirit of Measure B, of course, is a choice. And if we uphold that spirit in a vote for this choice out of town, then I think that we've upheld that. That's the spirit of that vote, and we can support that. I certainly can. The Los Osos Technical Task Force will continue to help with providing workshops, if you'd like that, or information. We have... Martin Hildebrand's pond system, if people are interested, it's at the library. There's many copies of it they can check out. Also, the information on Measure B. The leadership and cooperation and cool heads prevailing was wonderful, and the 2.3 interest rate certainly is important. But I have to remind people that it doesn't matter if you're buying the wrong thing. And so it's really important that we're going to be buying the right plant now. I just wanted to close with workshops on the vote, because it's going to be misunderstood. It's going to be difficult. We'll go do door hangers for you. We'll do whatever we can to help get the word out and to support workshops. I remember nearly a year ago saying, when we looked at ponds and Rob went over the ponds that were brought before you, or before the old board, from Al Barrow, who brought these ponds forward first. We said, if there is a lower cost option, this community has the right and the responsibility to choose it. And I'm so glad that we're in a position where we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McPherson. David Dugan, followed by Mr. Albaro.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. The preamble. These are given. In other words, you didn't have to make hard concessions on this part. You got by on that one. That was great. Matter of fact, the whole thing really works. I like how it reads. The devil is in the detail. It's more than I thought what was going to be on the table. And I like what I see. I'm with Joy Ricano. He really likes it, too. This is probably the first time we've come to agreement on something. The replace Measure B with the spirit of Measure B, and that it's going to entail some work. I believe you're going to have to repeal that. The 218 vote is going to be assessed vote. Property owners, I believe, correct? And that's the way it should be. I think it works all the way around. The thing I like it is additional water quality commitments. 15 years late on number three, implementing an aggressive water conservation program immediately. And finally, let's put these guys back to work. They've been sitting idle too long. And I really feel for that. And we can go ahead and get around to the business of the people. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Mr. Albaro. And that's the last of the speaker cards that I have. Unless, Jan, do you have any more, Ms. Harper? A few more? Okay.
Good evening. I'm going to stick to the subject. The proposal summary, the collection system will resume immediately as currently designed, which would mean that we will be paying for the present $70 million collection system. I don't know if you've seen that. That's what the contractors are charging us. That's what they bid for it. That's the contracts. So you've got a fixed $70 million out there that you're just spending. You're also spending the rehab on this site. And then, of course, you'll have to start in on whatever is chosen, wherever that may be. Assume that you're going to continue with the disposal system as currently designed. That's the Broder system's design and designs in the street. If you do that, then that's not ag exchange. You give up a lot there. This is a deal that you would not make if you were not threatened with fines of $11 million. And if the water board, a lot of people don't know this, they told you if you did a step stag system, in addition to the whole system, that you would have to have an alternative power source at each house, and you would also have to have a grinder pump at each house. That is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Do we have a redundant gravity sewer system here? I don't think so. So the logic of the regional board and the state board and why a step collection system would cost more is pretty fallacious. We know that we have an estimate, a high engineer's estimate last week, a fresh estimate of $35 million. Replace Measure B with a spirit measure. Well, this is against the state law. How can you replace a measure that was qualified on the ballot and voted for in a democratic process? I don't think our attorneys will agree with you on that one. All of these things are conditions. I'm assuming that they all have to be met. If you're to agree with this, are they negotiable or not, all these conditions? No, they're not negotiable, thank you. Aggressively pursue ag exchange, that's a conflict with present disposal. Anyway, I In the present form, I cannot accept it, and I don't know enough about the finances. I don't know the numbers. I haven't seen the rationalization of each one of these costs. Why a step collection system would cost more than a $70 million gravity system is way beyond my comprehension. I'd like to see those numbers. I hope you will give those numbers, get the numbers, present them to the public so we can all look at them. It looks like Dan said that he will do that. So I'll reserve the rest of my comments for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. In brief, the Broderson site for disposal field, I mentioned it earlier, it's only on the table. It will still be designed, but it will not. We're not planning to use it for as much water. It would be much less water. It would be wet weather storage and emergency. The goal is ag exchange. That's where we want to recharge the groundwater. We don't want to recharge it at Broderson because it doesn't work. 10%, only 10% gets in. We all know that now because the studies have been done. And we weren't planning to replace Measure B. We were planning it has to go back to the voters no matter what. That's the balance of the votes. There's a 218 vote and there's a Measure B vote. 218 vote is for property owners. Measure B vote is for everybody who lives in town. Everybody will have a say because of those two votes, and we'll explain the details as we go, but that's the gist of it. Measure B has to be repealed by the voters, and it will only be repealed. I mean, that remains to be seen. It will be repealed. That's what the voters have. You can't just replace it. You're right, Mr. Barrow. It's law, but it can be repealed. It has some technical difficulties that we are aware of now, and we want to make sure that we can get the spirit of Measure B, which is to move it out of town, and that's why we're concerned about some of the clauses in there. Okay, thank you. Mr. Fichet.
Just quickly, Al mentioned Broderson. I know Lisa touched on that. We need a multifaceted approach of disposing our water. We can't just depend on one location to dispose of our water, so we'd like to look at different ways of doing that. And Broderson needs to be on the table now because we don't have agreements with the farmers yet. So we have to have some place to take our water, and that's just one aspect of our disposal system. Just quickly, Al, that $70 million that was we have for a collection, that includes a disposal also. So that's about $10 million worth of work there for disposal. That's in that 70. And also includes about $4 million of road improvements. So you're looking at about $56 million for collection. And I'm saying about, and I'll say that again and again, the numbers that we talk about tonight are about that much. We're not talking exactness here, but it's about $56 million for the collection system. Now, there's other things that we'd have to consider if we decided to not go forward with this collection system as designed. There's additional costs that would be incurred if we were to cancel these contracts, and we have to consider that. We cancel those contracts, there's delay costs and cancellation costs and progress payments that need to be made yet. Those add up to quite a few million dollars, several million dollars, so we have to consider that. That's money out there that had to be paid for. Not to mention if there's additional legal fees that could be included. To replace the revolving fund loan with a conventional 6% loan for the amount of that collection system adds up to tens of millions of dollars in interest over 20 years. So we have to consider that too. It's an enormous amount of money between 2.3% and 6% over a 20-year period. So that's something we have to consider also. Rob, you got anything else you want to add to that?
Thank you, Madam President. Dr. Fouché, I think you covered it with good completeness. With regard to the road improvements, that's primarily for those sections of road in the community where the county mandated a complete replacement, which is edge of pavement to edge of pavement of the roadway. And I guess the point is, yes, it's the gravity collection that required those $4 million worth of improvement, but you do get a new road out of it. So there is an added value benefit on that aspect. Thank you.
Director Tacker, and then I have two more speaker cards for the next two speakers. It will be Tom Salmon and Bruce Payne. Director Tacker, that's all the speaker cards I have. Then we'll open it up to anybody else who wants to speak.
I just wanted to comment to Mr. Barrow. I think you know me pretty well, and I think you know that probably nobody wanted to compromise less than I did. But you know what? Choices, which I know you and I've had many conversations about. We wanted our community to choose choices with comprehensive analysis. Those were taken away from us and from this community when we started construction. So the hand we're dealt is what's before us today. And I commend, as other speakers have, Lisa and John, for going into that room and having to really hash it out. I know it was very difficult, and just waiting was difficult. And that's where I was, home, waiting by the phone, any way I could help. So this is all going to unfold in front of the community. That's what we want, is everyone to be following along. I love seeing the same faces, but I love seeing new faces, because I think we're all in this together, and every day there's more to learn. And this is the most educated community on the topic of human waste than probably any community anywhere. So you should be proud of yourselves. But we want to bring more education to you, and I expect that. I've talked to Rob Miller, and I've told him what I want to see, because I'm upset about the numbers. I want to see those numbers too, and you will see them. Okay, and thank you all.
Thank you. Is Bruce Payne or Tom Salmon here at this time?
Madam President, Tom Salmon emailed me a note. He couldn't attend tonight, and he asked that I be allowed to read his letter into the record.
I love that.
These are Tom Salmon's words. Tonight, I would like to thank Jim Tkach for reading my statement. As many of my neighbors remember, I have been fighting the Tri-W location for nearly 8 years. It has never been the appropriate location for any sewer facility. I have read the proposal, and though I do not agree with all the conditions, I concur that it is an acceptable modification to what I have been dedicated to fighting for so many years. Cause, TAPS, CCLO, Case, and too many individuals to name have fought to protect our town. Many of our neighbors are too old to fight anymore. In fact, many have died or just moved on because of this struggle. Tonight, I want to lay down my weapons, store them out of sight, in the great hope that this town has finally come to a resting point. I want to thank Mr. Blakesley, the state representatives, and most important, to this LOCSD board and to all Los Osos citizens without whom this would not be happening. I ask my friends of all walks of life to read these conditions of agreement and vote in favor of this proposal. We must go out to the seniors, the Filipino, and the Mexican communities and bring us all together to move forward without haste. With these negotiations initiated, hopefully Los Osos can return to the shining city on the hill we once were. Respectfully, Tom Salmon.
Thank you very much. Mr. Payne.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board, staff, and public here and public at home. I've got a lot more questions than what I've got time for, probably. But right off, first thing, I really want to congratulate you on negotiating the end to the MWH experimental plant out here with all its numerous changes that cost money that got blamed onto delays with lawsuits. Every change they made in that project cost us more money, a lot more than our lawsuits to stop it. The thing that I am upset, I don't agree with. I totally don't agree with. I know you have to make concessions if you need to negotiate, but to allow that collection system to go on in the large pipes capable of carrying raw sewage, which we've already known that the gravity collection systems of raw sewage are the most dangerous spill capabilities in the project. this is not good. I said before the best thing you could do with that collection system that's already in the ground would be to fill it with cement. When you start talking, you can't get a new septic tank in the backyard. Most of the houses have room for the small septic system that would be needed in the front yard due to the setbacks that are mandatory in most lots. This step stag was a pressurized system. It did not require a grinder pump at each septic tank. Septic tanks reduce the solids by 95%, give or take a couple of percent, depending on condition. It takes only a three-quarter horse motor running clear effluent, no solids except dissolved solids, running about 20 minutes a day. The energy on that is nothing like the 50 horse and 100 horse and backups upon backups of the same high horsepower in that proposed experimental plant. And the Broderson leach fields, 8 acres with 800,000 gallons, we knew was absurd. And then they cut it down to, well, we're only going to use 4 acres at a time and rotate it back and forth. That makes 200,000 gallons. Never mind. Do the math sometime. I don't have time right now. What about this vote as a property owners to vote? Is this one man, one vote, or is this a bunch of contractors who bought a bunch of lots that they intend to build who knows what on and get a vote for every one of the lots they got? I don't think this is fair. They already made a bunch of money off this community, especially one of them that's been fighting us tooth and nail with all the money he could put out. A couple more real quick things. Benefit for the private roads being paved curb to curb. Who pays for that? Is this like the money we paid for Broderson in order to mitigate the 11 acres that we didn't need to use ASHA for? Or is this more bill for the people who have to pay for the sewer? The other thing is Ag Exchange, we could start that right away. Just put a shut off on the pipe that goes to the ocean. Put a pipe from the other end of it out to the sod farm, and when it's raining, you open it up and put it to the bay, or when it's not raining, you could put it for Ag Exchange. That's right off. You can lower the groundwater without pumping it into the bay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. I have a question on the Prop 218 vote, Mr. Miller.
That's just something that the legal folks require, and we can just have to follow those directions. With respect to the Measure B vote, again, that's just right out of 218. I mean, if someone can find a different way to do it, then that's fine. But and with respect to the Measure B vote, obviously that'd be for the general populace. There was also a question in there with respect to the roads and what's the deal with those road improvements. And the speaker was somewhat accurate. There, basically, the county has a requirement that when you trench through their roads, if you're trenching for laterals and mainline, if you destroy a certain portion of the road more than 50%, or if the road's in poor condition, basically they're required as part of their encroachment permit for the system to restore those roads edge of pavement to edge of pavement. It's not for every road in the system, but it's a significant dollar amount, and that's the dollar amount that Director Fouché was alluding to in terms of replaced roads, which I suppose if you're living along those roads is an added benefit. And then just one other comment that came up during that speaker's presentation, and that is with respect to the grinder pump and the septic tank, I think the speaker was correct that clear liquid effluent is what you'd be pumping, which would not normally require a grinding pump necessarily. However, it's important to understand that these are the things that the State Revolving Fund is saying, in order for us to fund your step system, you have to do these things, replace every tank, have a grinder pump instead of a normal step pump. If you want our money, you can feel free to fund it yourself if you want to do a step system without those components. So that's the reason. I certainly recognize that it's clear effluent we're talking about. That's what we've been saying. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Okay, next speaker, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. My name is Dominic Rock. I live in Los Osos. I want to commend you on your efforts in the last week. I appreciate it. I am disappointed in the outcome, however. First, because we're extending the uncertainties that have plagued planning for a wastewater treatment solution in this community. And secondly, because we're continuing to pollute the bay for another 2 years. I find both of those to be unacceptable provisions or outcomes. I do want to ask that you provide us with, as soon as you can, the math that you and the State Board agreed to and penciled out to make the out-of-town solution more affordable, because no matter how many times I do it, I can't come up with the same kind of conclusion. And I would also ask that you possibly hold the 218 election sooner than later. I don't see any point in pushing that out any longer than it has to be. We probably could resolve this quickly after that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Nick, Mr.
My name is Richard Sadowski. I'm with the Central Coast Ocean Outfall Group. We're also known as the Cougars. Also, I'm a degreed mechanical engineer, and I have a grade 4 collection system certificate holder.
President of North Morro Bay, and I've been following your trek here since probably December or January of this year. I feel that the proposal that's being made tonight to this community is on point as far as clean water goes. This is a clean water issue, and as far as I can see from what your proposals are, this is going to work towards that end. So the Central Coast Ocean Outfall Group endorses the proposal. There's no perfect world, and as you can see, people here, still have. It's too bad that we came to the point that we're at, where the saltwater intrusion wasn't really looked at, and all the tree cutting, the upper aquifer rises when you cut the trees. So this 50 feet that the aquifer is, the saltwater intrusion is coming in a year, probably part of it at least, and there are scientific studies that go to that, have been the removal of the trees. So environment, clean water. There is no people living if there isn't clean water. And we want to protect our bay from any kind of leaching from having a plant sitting right there at the low edge. So thank you, and just thank you. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Hi, neighbors. I'm Bob Clover. To paraphrase someone who speaks here often, I'm a citizen of the world. And I worry about it. I had a number of questions, some of which have been answered, so let me just ask the remaining ones, I hope. Can you tell me how much has been committed so far since you've taken office to keep the contractors on hold rather than working? And also related to that, what's the break-even point of paying the fines and those fees and any legal costs versus getting the work going? Is there a break-even point that you've calculated? And could you tell us what it is?
Do you have any more comments, and I will address your questions?
Yes, I do.
Okay, would you continue, and then I'll address your questions? Or would you rather those? It'd be good if you just did your 3 minutes, and then if we're doing it the same way for everybody. So.
Okay. We may forget the questions by the time we get the answers.
I have them written down for you.
Okay. Okay, then with regard to the 218 kind of vote, it seems to me when I was watching on television the other day that last week you guys voted to hold property owners responsible for water services that renters did not pay. And it seems to me that, in the same situation, wastewater cost treatment and collection costs are going to be paid by the property owners, and those are the people that should be voting on an assessment for, and possibly the location for such a project, since location and cost are very directly related. Another question is, I'm not clear where this board sits in terms of the litigation that individual residences, and wouldn't it be better to have trucks going from one place out of town? And have you looked at, has anyone looked at the number of trips that are made now versus the number of trips that would be made in the future with that TriW site?
Okay. Are those all your questions, Mr. Clover?
I think so.
Okay. I'd like to start maybe asking Mr. Buskey about how much money have we committed so far about the break-even point? Can you have anything to report at this time? We are in process about that, but I don't know. I'd like him to answer.
We don't really have a good idea. We haven't seen close figures or basically substantiated figures from the contractors yet. And even if we had, we haven't had time right now to sort through that. We have preliminary estimates, but like I say, they're preliminary. And as you know, in negotiations on claims, it can be rough and tumble sometimes. But we have to get the facts. Also, we have to determine and talk to counsel about what's allowed, what's not allowed. We have to consider the contractor's risk and how that factors into the contract. We haven't done any of that yet. And there's other factors.
Do you have any ballpark? I mean,
no.
Is it more than a dollar or?
No.
Come on.
I don't. And the other thing, too, is that with negotiations pending, I think that we would probably be looking at the figures and looking at our negotiation positions just as the contractors now are looking at theirs. So there's a certain art form to it. So we have to be careful what we put out. But we have not done an analysis, and we haven't pulled out the contractual obligations that we have versus costs they may not be entitled to reimbursement for. And there may be, and then we get into the two things like escalation and ripple from the schedule that are very difficult to talk about because we've got to sit down with their schedules, which, you know, take a look at that.
Okay. Any other comments from other staff members on these questions? Mr. McClendon?
I think you mentioned in the Measure B, and I believe it was one of the points that the state board requested of the CSD was to put as much of our litigation behind us as possible, clear the slate on that, including Measure B. Let's move forward constructively, and you can certainly understand in the context of what we're doing here, the state's goal is let's stop paying lawyers, let's start paying contractors.
Okay, and then finally I have one comment about the sludge. The sludge that was going to be produced here is 80% moisture, so it kind of bulks it up a little bit. We're trucking water out of town, actually, unclassified sludge and trucking water with it. The sludge that you would pull out of a tank, a septic tank, is indeed being trucked out of town, as you say, but it's a different density and less water involved. So, Director Tacker, and then Director.
I'd like to piggyback on the sludge question or this versus septic, the way that we manage our septic tanks now. And it really your best source for how many tanks get pumped around town would be Al, not Al Barrow, Al Beaver. and that varies with the weather. If it's a rainy season, people tend to do it a little bit more depending on how their tank performs. Their county of San Luis Obispo states that a sludge truck, again, that's the open truck with the tarp, cannot be parked in a residential zone for more than 4 hours. So should it break down, you better get a tow truck out there immediately. So there's some risk, and there's reasons that this ordinance is being written in this way, because there's some risk of having spores and things that in an open truck. And so I've always been more comfortable with the tanker and my septic than the idea of sludge hauled through town, past a school, car locks, etc.
May I ask one question on that? Is it required to have an open truck?
And I don't know how it gets. Well, the way it gets in there is through a hopper, and there's the reason the building was 40 feet tall is so a truck could drive inside, and the material would fall into the bed of the truck. And I honestly don't know. Maybe Rob knows if it could be in the little hole in the truck.
Mr. Miller?
To a tank.
Well, I think anything is probably possible, but I think at the time Montgomery Watson designed, it was a hopper, as you described, to a dump truck as being the most cost-effective way to haul it, since it's because of its character. I suppose it would certainly be possible to have a portal and a steel tank, but probably be a little more cost to force it into that small opening.
Okay. And Director Sinnott, do you have anything to add?
Well, this discussion is kind of for sport, because regardless of in town or out of town, we're not going to be pumping septic tanks any longer. And I think most people would rather see sludge hauling occur from outside of town than from within the core of it. So I think that's what we're looking at.
No, I'm just comparing to what's happening now and has been happening for the last.
That's right, and that's not going to continue.
Okay. We're going to not do this kind of dialogue, if that's okay. Thank you for your question, sir.
I don't support it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Clover. Mr. Tkach, please.
James Tkach, Los Osos. I understand the agreement is the best that you guys could have done, given the conditions as they are today with contracts already underway. I realize that had contracts not been initiated, we might have been able to work out some other deal. With regard to the two-year time limit, I think that's aggressive. I think you'll have a lot of work to meet that time, but I know with the energy behind this board, we can do it. I'd like to make sure that language is in any agreement, that it's any conditions that are beyond the control of the CSD, you know, would alleviate the probability of fines, just as the past board had that added to their conditions of their development. I don't think it's fair to require you to have to try and navigate that minefield without some protection. I'm not clear exactly how the votes are going to work. If one of them fails, there's a whole deal off. With regard to the 218 vote, I've heard people stand up here tonight and say they voted for the $20 million assessment. Well, and they've lost all that. Well, no, that included property, which we're not losing under this agreement. When did you vote for the other $140 million to encumber that as part of a lien on your property? I don't remember that vote. If someone that's advocating that they've already voted for this plan out here, if they could catch me in the back room and explain how that worked. But back on the subject, the technology that you would propose out of town is subject to the State Water Board approval. That concerns me in that you could run everything that you want out there with regard to design, and they keep shooting it down, and you're back to this plan in town. So I hate to throw or be a naysayer or anything like that, but people that know me know I'm kind of a pessimist, always look at what's the worst that could happen. And I just want to remind everybody, we could end up with this plan in town. Nothing's a done deal. We need to continue with the energy that we've had to get to this point, because the real heavy lifting is going to start now. So I think with this proposal that we may end up with the best of both worlds. I wrap up quickly. I was opposed to conventional collection, but I was shocked in talking to the community how many people wanted to get rid of their septic tanks. So that may end up a plus in the long run. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Didn't start the clock yet, did you?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. Michael Jones, Los Osos. I had written a prepared comment a couple days ago, just pretty much speaking out against the project on the original project on the Tri-W site, and then after reading the newspaper this morning, I pretty much set that aside. So now all I have is some concerns and a little bit of questions and some anxiety. As I was reading the paper this morning, the further I read into this article, it kind of, you know, kind of bothered me, kind of scared me a little bit that it looks like you, perhaps you're being set up for a trap or something based upon all these conditions. Mr. Blakesley, he had an anecdote or analogy from Greek mythology or whatever. There's another story from that time period about a Trojan horse, and I hope this agreement is not a Trojan horse. The thing that bothers me is like there's this, you know, the stuff on Brodersen. You're still going to build on Brodersen. I'm glad to find out that you're not going to use it to the extent that they had originally planned, but you're still going to build that part of the project up there. And it looks like to me that what you've agreed to is building the same exact project as before, except for with the exception of the type of plant and the location, and then you have all these conditions attached to the type of plant and location, and if you don't meet these conditions, we could wind up with yesterday's project, but they cannot build on Tri-W. And if you vote yes on this agreement, you open the door for the original project to go through, and it worries me. That's all. And I hope I'm wrong, and I pray you're right. And that's all I have for you right now.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Edge.
Good evening. I'm David Edge, Los Osos, speaking as a private citizen. This is my county administrator outfit, as you can see. So my comments don't reflect my employer. I was concerned, first of all, kudos, I think, to Director Shikaram Fouché. I was afraid to touch the mic in case it collapsed based on the last speaker. How's that?
Go speak right in, because
okay.
So we can hear.
Okay. How's that? Okay. Like everybody else, I think you deserve a lot of credit for the work that you did this week, and you came up with a compromise that I think has potential for working. My concern goes to a remark that I think I read into your district council's comments about Measure B and the pending litigation. And what I thought I heard him say was that your board is planning on ending that litigation. The problem with that is that then leaves Measure B as the current law for the district, as several people have described it. The challenge with that is that as long as Measure B is in effect, then I don't think that you can get financing for this project. The state has made it clear that they need the vote of the property tax, the property owners, to assess themselves, to make it a commitment against their property. The alternative, as we discussed last week, is to get bonding of some kind from the bond markets. Measure B, and this isn't an advocacy for or against Measure B, simply it's practical reality. Measure B creates an uncertainty for anybody that is talking about making a financial commitment, and this goes for the bond market or for a property owner. If you ask me as a property owner to vote to commit a lien against my property on a project that Measure B can prevent from ever happening, then why would I want to vote to make that commitment on my property? So, and the same thing with the bond market. You're not going to be able to go out and bond a project. People are not going to buy bonds. People are not going to market bonds except at a junk level when the stream of revenue that's obligated to pay for those bonds is dependent upon a project that may not get built because a vote of the people can prevent that project that you've planned in all good faith going forward. That uncertainty is what the market hates. So I guess my concern is this. Either Measure B needs to be overturned by a court right now to create that certainty, or you need to have the Measure B change election completed before you go on the 218 election of the property owners. Because as I said, as a property owner, I couldn't feel comfortable voting to commit a lien against my property with Measure B remaining in uncertainty of will I get it?
The financing of the system that they're very much against, therein lies the riddle.
Mr. McLennan.
I think the last speaker raised some valid comments, and perhaps his questions are a result of not fully articulating what the parameters were here. I think the focus of the state is that we need to get Measure B behind us, and that we're not going to be in a position where we want to. First off, we want to move very quickly. The hearing on Measure B at this point is not until December, about mid-December. After that, the Court of Appeal has up to 90 days to render a ruling. After that, there's a period of time in which an appeal can be filed to the either side, win or lose, could file an appeal potentially to the Supreme Court on a petition for cert. There's a period of time in which that is granted or denied. The State Board wants us to have all of that behind us far before those time limits. And consequently, one of the provisions for the state is they want to see the election for the rescission of Measure B much, much sooner than that, and accomplished by a mailed ballot election to all of the eligible voters. That's what the state is requesting that we provide. So the state is actually looking for two votes. And in a sense, it breaks down between the registered voters, which include the tenants, and then the property owners on the 218 vote. The state has two concerns. One, the limitations that Measure B imposes in binding the hands of this board for flexibility, particularly with that majority vote provision in Measure B, which is extremely problematic. And I think everyone, even the Measure B proponents, can see that that's a challenge. It would have been far better to have said plurality rather than majority. The second issue is the state wants to see, the state's like a lender, and the state wants a secured, as you pointed out, a securitized loan here. And as a lender, sees issues under the current posture of the loan and wants to see a commitment from the property owners here that they are committed to putting in a sewer here. One of the things that has been questioned is the commitment on this community to actually develop a sewer. And so they're asking the property owners to agree to further securitization, call it credit enhancement or security enhancement, by having an actual 218 vote for the assessment as further assurance that the loan, the SRF loan, will be repaid. And people need to understand, too, I think there might be some mistakes here, that the securitization is not over and above what it's already going to cost and what the state believes we have already committed ourselves to as a community on the SRF loan. It's simply further enhanced securitization. It's sort of a belt and suspenders sort of approach and a higher comfort level for the State Water Resources Board on the SRF loan.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to add at this time?
The funds from the 218 vote would be specifically in lieu of, and that would be the revenues. If the revenues are generated, then the 218 vote becomes what, mute? Yeah, mute.
The 218 is not a two-thirds.
No, it's not a tax.
No. And then the 218 vote that they're requiring is for collection and disposal system only, not the whole project price. Okay, Mr. Citrin.
My name is Arnie Citrin. I've been here 24 years, and this whole night, everything's on money. And I voted to move the sewer out of town, and you people here are up here because the community wanted it. Otherwise, we'd have another group up here. But anyway, I feel that in this community, there's more people want the sewer out of town. So don't be scared of that vote. All you people have to do is start advertising and explaining to the community what this B and A and all these different things mean. because in the long run, once a sewer is built, your real estate people are going to make more money, your contractors are going to make more money. This community will be built from here to San Luis, you know, over 40 years. And these people are worried about, you know, they can't build. As soon as we move this out of town, we're going to start building, and everybody's going to be happy. I want to thank you.
Mr. Perlman.
Thank you. Alan Perlman, Prohibition Zone. Well, using somebody else's metaphor, it looks like you were playing chicken with a locomotive, and the locomotive blinked. So now you're on the cow catcher, and it remains to be seen if you can climb back up and get control or fall under the wheels and take us all with you. But I think you're the right people, and we voted for you because we wanted you to be here. We trust you. But let's remember what Measure B is. And using the chicken metaphor, why did that chicken cross the tracks in the first place? And that was Measure B. The spirit of Measure B is not just a choice of a sewer. It is specifically a made choice of a sewer that is out of town. This measure passed by a small amount, but it is now 100% the law. So if you plan to repeal the Measure B provision of 51%, do it so to allow, not deny, the people's choice that took place just a little over 30 days ago. As for the 218, someone mentioned to me that with the math that we may want to do, there are 40 people who have as much influence as the rest of the whole town. In fact, if you don't own at least 2 acres, you're little people when it comes to 218 voting. And that's just a comment on that. So move it out of town with my blessing. I would like to know what is the limit on the Broderson release. Can you make sure it's some given percentage, less than 50%? So I think of it more as a poison suppository administered roughly and undemocratically. This previous board also peddled us up this creek and then threw away the paddle. You have now retrieved the paddles for us. From this point on, only coordinated rowing by all parties, residents, absentee owners, and government agencies can get us out of this mess. So people, don't rock the boat. Don't support hypocrites who will attempt lawsuits against this CSD. And good luck to us all. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Owen? After Ms. Oakes, I'm going to take a break. So if you want to speak, you can still speak, but we'll take a break after that.
Good evening. I wanted to thank you very much for all the work it took. I'm sure it was a strain and stress, and it's good that we had somebody that was willing to listen for the first time. And I wish we had had something like this when we were in the mix before it was as late as it is now. I guess my question would be, where in the heck was the state board when we were asked them not to release money before we had an election? They don't like 218. I'm a little irritated. Sorry. I had a couple questions. One, why would we be disposing at Broderson? I think the Pandora should go out and save that property, and I think we should put the disposal into purple pipes so that we can keep the vegetation and landscape living in this community after we get rid of our existing septic leach fields. And I really do think Pandora can go out and save that land in Rose Balker's memory or whatever. I don't think that we should be spending the, whatever, it's $4 million worth of property. That's coming out of a sewer bill that I think the land should be preserved, but maybe that would be the repair that Pandora could do to our community. I really am disappointed in the collection system changing, and I would hope that maybe at a certain point we could get partially collected and maybe see if something else could go back to getting onto step. I wish everybody would remember, right now, the raw sewage that comes out of each household goes into a container in their yard with a cap on it. It's sealed. You don't even know it's there if you take care of it. And what we're being told we're going to have to do is dark age technology, which is taking it out, putting it into pipes that go up to 20 feet underground. They go right through our drinking supply, folks. So if you think that's a good solution and you like the collection system, I guess you got what you wanted. I'm not very happy with it. I don't think that we get to be innovative anymore. I think the pond system definitely is the right direction. Out of town, of course. I just think that the state board is being anal, unfortunately, telling us that we need so many requirements on the STEP system. On the weighted vote, we don't know what the build-out is going to be because now we have a water problem. I don't know how we would get, if we get to that by February, how in the heck will we know how many properties each person supposed
to... A little presentation that talked about the weighted vote and looking at like the top 30 properties out there, how much weighting they got, how that compares to the rest of the community, and just put it all out there for folks to see.
I totally agree, and agendize that for as soon as possible. Ms. Oaks, and then we're going to take a 10-minute break.
Okay. Long night. Thank you, Board, again, especially Lisa, for all the hard work. God bless you. And here, Lindy Owen. She's right. I feel that I'm going to speak now for Peggy Pavick because she's out of the country, and these are her notes to me. This meeting is premature without figures. It's a broad outline. Attach figures to it, and it takes on meaning. What is being said here tonight lacks serious financial context. But the most expensive part is the collection system, and that's what we're keeping. And by keeping that system, our bills are still going to be too high for the residents to stay. And the developers still win by getting all the homeowners, most of us here, to leave. We can't afford $300 a month. We can't even afford $200 a month. There is a cheaper way if you abandon the state revolving fund loan and do a project independently. And owe the state nothing. And I don't want anybody to forget here that the state revolving fund states that the district pays it back as a whole. And I don't think anybody has been educated on that. That means the people in Cabrillo Estates, the district pays back as a whole. And I just want to say, and I know everybody wants to take a break, I just wish you wouldn't be so afraid of the fines or bankruptcy. It's scare tactics again, and it's been done over the years, over and over and over again. And with these prices on this collection system as it stands, this will be eminent domain by taxation. Again, eminent domain by taxation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Oaks. Adjourn for a 10-minute break, please. Is that a yes? Hey, everybody. Time to start. We're going to start our meeting up again. Could everybody please have a seat?
Good evening, Madam President and directors of the board, staff, and dear folks of Los Osos. So, of course, compromise and we get some things that we wanted and something and some not other things that we wanted. I think it's very important that if we do consider lifting Measure B, that we have an assurance that it will be built out of town and it will be... and the health and safety issues and the environmental issues are all still considered. And I have a problem with where it says if the assessment vote fails, the original project will be built. I don't know if that's a good thing to accept ever. and so it seems like you guys did an awesome job, and it seems like we can get quite a good system in place with. But I do hope that they're not planning to stab us in the back. And then I really do hope that we are able to do a ponding system, and then Santa Maria will be very thankful that they don't have to take our sludge. But maybe I'm not clear. I mean, if we don't get to do a ponding system, does that mean that we're going to be hauling that huge amount of sludge to Santa Maria again? Or do we get to process... It's my understanding that the ponding system might work like a septic tank. In other words, digest a lot of the solids, and then we wouldn't have to truck a lot of waste out. So, but if we do have to build cement ponds, does the sludge still get digested here? Most of it? No? Okay. So I'm opting for a ponding system, and of course, that would be state-of-the-art, environmentally much preferred. And thank you for the conservation measures and the second part, and that's great that we're going to start taking care of our watershed. I'm sorry that I'm all flustered and everything. And I am also worried about a property owner's vote when certain property owners would get 40 votes and things like that. And I wonder if there would be a way for a property owner vote where each property owner gets one vote. I don't know.
As far as sludge you were talking about, yes, in a ponding system, it does stay in the bottom of a pond for a longer period of time. So it does further degrade, and eventually we have to truck it off. Or we can also do biosolids treatment if we have enough property, it's in the right location. Either any treatment system that we look at, we can think about and look at and see what the cost is and benefit-cost ratio, maybe just treating our biosolids on site instead of hauling that off. And we should have actually a pretty good product considering that we don't have industry in this town.
Joe Sparks, Los Osos. I hope people look at the big picture. There's three issues. It is imperative that we maintain local control of our water resources, and that means the viability of the district. And the fact is this proposal can accomplish that. We do not want to allow control to shift from the district to a bunch of lawyers or another agency, because that will only result in uncontrolled cost increases. So the board and the citizens must realize that they cannot have everything they want, and must recognize that any project that goes forward will likely be challenged by parties who do not accept or do not want to pay for a sewer or who may not want a new site. The most cost-effective decision for residents and property owners needs to be made regardless of what got us to this point. I have a couple of items. I thank you for putting Tri-W on the table, because that was the good faith action that you did that allowed the negotiations to proceed. And thanks to Blakeslee for leaking the proposal from the Tribune so we could review it before we came tonight. I do recommend that you expedite the Measure B vote as soon as possible, because it is going to be so difficult to have those legally required to pay for the project to support you with any belief that they would be held hostage to a project not being completed. Because I think I don't know that people have seen some of the information as far as potentially down the road, if we don't have a project, what the state and the regional water quality board would do to private property owners if there is no project. I do have concern on the siting, and that the 2 years does have flexibility, because we are talking about potential ag land that will have county issues, and there will be people against doing just that. Also, the SRF funding is for construction. This 218 volt, you have to still do some design work. What will be the funding for the design work? Will there be a separate assessment for design permits and more litigation costs that are bound to come up? So how are you going to fund any new design? I don't think that's been addressed, and that needs to be addressed. And when you do this 218 assessment, that will it be expanded? You talked about expanding it beyond the prohibition zone, but also if it's just the prohibition zone, would it address potential special benefit for the disposal aspect into Broderson, into the water supply, where there would be a proportional benefit assigned in that assessment vote? That's another question. And that's all I have for now. Thanks.
Mr. Blusky.
They got the clock on me now, huh? That bond to do the design and planning work.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Albright.
I'm Joyce Albright, and I live in the Prohibition Zone. I didn't write anything down before I came, so I'm looking at my notes. First of all, I'd like to thank you for having the meeting here. I had told Mr. Blesky that I would pay for renting this hall rather than be in the parking lot, and he said, why don't you give your money to the low-income fund instead? So it's not much, but I'm not Hank Waterford, but I'll donate. I appreciate the work you guys have done, and you know I've been very vocal about not moving the project, but I know you have invested many hours and a lot of effort in it, and I want to tell you that I appreciate that. I'm sure the whole community does. I would be happy if you could move the sewer and guarantee it would be cheaper. I don't believe it's possible, but I mean, if you can prove that to us, go for it. I mean, I'm not married to that site. I just want the sewer in, and I felt the site was fine. I didn't, and I live above it. I felt the park was going to be good. I had confidence that the project was going to be good. And I won't go into all the details about it. But it's just my belief that with all the penalties and fines and the money we've got into it and moving it and the fact that materials are going up so much, and even if your project is cheaper, and the end result and the time elements and the delays in inflation, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not sure I believe it's possible. I'm happy with getting rid of all the litigation. I think that's a waste of time and effort, and I think it's very divisive. I think the meltdown could easily be resolved by restarting at the Tri-W, and I don't believe there's any agency that would monitor Measure B, only your ex-lawyer Biggs, and if you tell her not to file any fines, she won't. I don't believe the majority of the sewer is necessarily for, majority of the community is necessarily for moving the sewer out of town. Everybody I know isn't. So now I have my questions, which I'll give you in writing. Does your ponding system have 10 years proof of resolving the nitrates, which is what the state requires? Can you pay contractor penalties out of the low interest loan? When would the assessment vote take place? Would it be in addition to if it can't complete an alternative in enough time, which I presume is 2 years? Is that part of your agreement? And how can you assure that this won't happen? And where is proof that moving the sewer will be cheaper? I've seen nothing in writing about estimates of what your project is going to cost and what the site is going to cost. I don't even know where it is, especially considering the $20 million spent. And I know some of that was spent on the site and pending fines and construction penalties. And that's all I have to say. So let me, maybe you would hand that to Julie and give that to, who gets my check? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Albright. The list of questions, I think, is there any questions you can answer this evening, or can I get back to you on these questions at the next meeting? I think it's going to, some of these questions we just can't answer tonight. I would rather research them and give you real good answers instead of half.
I sure would like to know the first one.
Does your ponding system have 10 years of proof in resolving nitrates?
Yeah.
The ponding system is still under investigation, but every element of the ponding system is tried and true. It's my understanding that all elements of the ponding system have track records. Yes. Yes, it is. As far as I know right now, and again, I don't like being put on the spot if I don't have good research, and that's why I'm reluctant to give a complete answer to you tonight. I'd rather give you a real good one.
You answered everybody else's questions, and I think I have a right to have mine, and these are questions that the public wants to hear, too.
Thank you, Ms. Albright. Mr. Miller, please, did you have something to add?
Thank you, Madam President. Back when we were asked to look at a very reconnaissance level at the pond system, we did a little presentation on it where we talked about two steps to removing nitrogen. One was taking the ammonia that comes out of our bodies and out of our normal raw wastewater, converting that to nitrate. The other was taking nitrate into nitrogen gas, those two steps. Nelson was one group that had done projects that demonstrated the two steps, but on separate levels, on separate projects. They hadn't ever been required to put them together. They theoretically certainly could be put together, and at that time, we had just thrown that out there for the community that they had a track record on those individual components, but had never been required to design, construct, and operate a system where they were combined. So one of the things that I think staff will need to do, and I know you've commissioned Wildan to do some alternatives analysis, is to go, you know, instead of just reconnaissance level, go visit real plants, go get all their operational data, all of those things. And, of course, you're not just going to close your eyes and say it's pond or nothing. You're also going to remain open to things that are intermediate between the MBR out here and a pond, like an oxidation ditch and other things. So it's a full analysis of alternatives that you're looking for, the pond being the one that clearly
would achieve the water quality standards that we desire.
Thank you, Mr. Senate. The next few questions I'd like to answer or defer to staff, either one. Can you pay contractor penalties out of the low interest loan? I understand that's under closed session. We're addressing some of that in closed session, but maybe Mr. Blesky has something to add.
The state revolving fund folks say you cannot. That doesn't mean that there's other avenues to get those penalties from the state revolving fund. And I think we've talked about that in the past, because not only do we have the requirements of the state revolving fund, but we have a contract with them, and there's issues that we are discussing with them.
Okay. When would the assessment vote take place? As soon as possible. When would it be in addition to existing assessments? Yes, it's a guarantee on the collection system. Or would it replace existing assessments? No, it would not. Would the ponding system recharge our water system? Yes, it would. How much will the election cost? I don't know. Does anyone know over there? Mr. McClendon?
The state board has requested that we do it by with the district by mail ballots, which would be far less expensive. Someone approves of that, apparently.
If we use a mail-in ballot like we used in the fire tax, it would be approximately $15,000, Director Tacker says.
Madam President. Also, the other question I believe Ms. Albright asked was why would the state require that we have the funding in place so that if it's not built, that there's nevertheless a repayment. I'm speculating here, of course, but I think it's fairly transparent that from the state's standpoint, that would be a poison pill to make it untenable for any future board to be elected that would go to such an extreme that says whether it's in town, out of town, we have a half-constructed facility here, and we're just going to let it sit here and not complete some sort of sewer.
Okay. Where is proof moving the sewer will be cheaper? We'll be developing those figures for you and coming out. Again, we went through the numbers in our workshop this week with the state, and they are absolutely convinced and believe us and concur with us that the project is cheaper out of town, especially considering the money that's spent with ponding and fines and construction penalties. Again, they are in concurrence with us about the project would be cheaper out of town, and it's a better project. They also are in concurrence with us about that. Okay, next speaker.
Cynthia Coleman, Baywood Park. You all look tired, and cheer up, because you've done a lot of hard work and you've got a lot of good things done, and it's a very positive step forward. And I think that because you all made the effort that you did to work with these unreasonable people and all their little stipulations, that it's a really good thing for us, and I thank you. My questions are, since a septic survey has never been afforded much more than $50 a month, that's the truth. And I hear people talking about over 200 and all that, and for me, that's just unreasonable. And if you're going to commit us to the state revolving fund, and are there any prospects of any grants or any help that we can get if we really can't afford to pay for this? Again, thanks a lot for all your hard work.
Thank you, Ms. Coleman. The answer is, a septic survey ever been done? The answer is no. Are we intending to do one? We were intending to do one until we got put in this construction headlock. We can't do it now. Is a Measure B is the law? How can we commit $70 million of a vote? The $70 million is for the collection system, and Measure B is exclusive of collection. And as far as affordability, we still do intend to do an affordability study. We intend to seek out every grant source that we can get. We intend to seek out every politician who has any method of guaranteeing us loans or grants. And we also will have some results from that affordability study that should help us with grant seeking. And we are totally committed to the Low Income Assistance Fund and fundraising for our residents who cannot afford this project.
Director Tacker? I just want to give you some hope that when we build out of town, we give ourselves some options. And I like to look at solar. Morro Bay is doing a cogeneration using their sludge. These opportunities open us up for opportunity to grants. And it's innovative technology. Downtown, we were saddled. We weren't going to be able to one solar panel. So I'm optimistic. I think we're gonna have a better system out of town, and we'll be able to reduce its cost by being creative.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, I'm Katie Franklin, 7th and Pismo. Just wanted to congratulate you on your presentation and your proposal. Facing all that you have to face, I think it's a lot of positive things came out of it. It's a difficult time for everyone, very confusing, but hopefully we'll have the information for everyone to make an educated vote. I am hoping that the 2 months that we have will be enough time to, or I'm just concerned about the deadline, and do you think that the things you have to do in the time period are safely within that two years? I guess that's one of my questions. And thank you.
At this time, we're confident that we can do the schedule of planning and permitting within 2 years, and we're going to stick to that confidence and optimism. Yes, Mr. Gervin.
Good evening, Les Gervin, Julie, John, thank you very much. Mr. Blakesley, I think you did an excellent job of what we're going towards. And for see if there's a way to enlarge it a little bit better. If you do happen to do anything of the sludge area, there's also sludge haul from San Luis, Cambria. We compost, but we send a little bit to McCarthy, but everything else goes to England Gray. And that's approximately another $200,000 to $300,000 in earnings if you could just take their wet sludge to a facility that could compost or finish drying it to a drier state. I still believe that the disposal system, once it goes out of town, I think everybody should pay for it to come back because it's still everybody's water that we're using. And if there's a way to dispose of it out there in the area out there instead of Broderson, I think it would probably be a lot better. Unless water quality would accept that if Broderson ever failed, they would take the responsibility of the failed Broderson site because of it perked through the land somewhere. If they'd agree to taking that over and pay all the repairs, because we see what happened down at Las Conchitas, I guess, the hill slide. But other than that, I think you guys are doing an excellent job. And I can see my lateral being put in maybe next week, right? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes. Mr. Sargent.
Dick Sargent, Los Osos, wishful thinking. A little rain on your parade, is that what they say? I just expect that this will go forever and ever. I mean, we have our best intentions, but I just cannot accept that we're going to solve this problem with just a year or two and that'll take care of it. Not really. It's a matter of wishful thinking, and I sort of equate that to the Gulf Coast states and the people that really, over the years, got used to no hurricane threats, and they ended up losing their homes. So I'm putting this in a sort of an analogy, and if you do vote, as I expect you will, I'll go back to my old chicken with the freight train, or might as well say it's a Silver Express, if you saw the movie. But we're going to be ground up, and I can see it happening. Maybe it started already. So we're just churning is all we're doing, is getting embroiled with all this talk, you know. If I could express it a little better, I don't know. Dumb show and noise. How's that? Dumb show and noise, that's what we've been up to, and I'm afraid that's what we're into for the future. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes.
Thank you, Mr. Sargent. Mr. Swanson.
Unbelievable. Can't do it. No, it's just impossible. I don't get it. I don't get the pessimism. it was optimism for the sewer in the middle of town. It's just going to be wonderful. But once it comes, that's something that the community might want. It's unfortunate, and this is the problem, and we cannot forget that the prior board limited this community's options by the actions of starting this sewer. The community cannot afford it. And now here we are. Now we're going to have a vote after the fact. And either way we look at it, if we went on with the project that we're having now, we're going to be paying $134 million for it. Whether you know the property is going to be leaned, and how wouldn't you? Why would you not support another project out of town? It doesn't make any sense to me. If it's going to get it done and you want to clean the water and you want to do all the things that you say you want to do, then you should support it. I just don't understand why you're married to this plant. And Joyce says she's not married to it, and a lot of the other people that I've talked to that supported the Tri-W site aren't really married to that plant. If it's going to go out of town, it's going to be cheaper. That's good for the community. As far as the assessment's concerned, the assessment paid for design, property acquisition. It wasn't just about putting a plant in the middle of town. So that money's not wasted, and we can use it. I would have preferred STEP. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. If it's going to be gravity, it's not a really good thing to be doing along the coast. And if there's some way we can get around that and figure that out. But I think we should definitely be negotiating with Barnard, because they were way overpriced. And I think you sit down with them and you save some millions of dollars for this community. And Montgomery Watson owes us a free design. It cost this community way too much money already. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Ms. Cooper?
Okay. Hi, Lacey Cooper. I'm a homeowner. Thought I'd say that tonight. A lot of people have said what I was going to say, but I just want to emphasize a few things. First of all, a gentleman who was rather pessimistic just a couple of speakers ago about getting things done in 2 years, I doubt if the board, the people who are negotiating, pulled that number out of their hat, just kind of went, oh, I guess it'll take 2 years. So, I'm sure something, I can ask that question, how did you arrive at the 2 years? That would be putting in the form of a question. Also, I wanted to emphasize what James T. Catch said about, and Keith, about the assessment, which was about $18 million, I believe. And, people were saying they wanted it back. Hey, we're not going to have this particular plant in the middle of town. And you bought the property with that money, the design of the collection system, which is staying the same. And also, so the plant was only part of it. Also, I just want to correct something. They said they knew what the plant was going to be when they voted for it, and they could not know that. That's impossible, never happened, because the plant changed. When we went to assessment, even if you had seen, it wasn't on the ballot, okay, so a lot of people weren't really clear about what kind of plant they were getting. But if you did look at the EIR in the office and looked at some videos that were produced at that, the board negotiated hard. They've made compromises, a lot of compromises. They've been flexible. And I hope the workshops will educate us all about the operation and maintenance and repair that will be much less, say, with the ponding system, the ag exchange, how good that is. And, and also it's not being rational if it's cheaper out of town to say, I've got to have it in, and we've got to do it that way. That's just not rational. So you're voting against yourself. The other thing, I do have a question, since the gravity system seems to be what's going in. about the affordability, I know it's, well, close to, you know, $70 million. I know there are some costs that were less, but I am concerned. I think Keith brought this up about the overbid. I'm almost finished. It was 43% overbid, and I'm also still concerned about affordability, as other people have brought up, because I believe, and I could be wrong, that it was under the Porter-Cologne Act that the State Water Board had to consider affordability. So I am still concerned about that, since the collection system is such a, you know, the bulk of the price of the system. So thank you, and hang in there.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Cooper. Mr. Fiché?
The collection system, I know, is a huge factor in this to consider. And again, if we were working with a blank sheet of paper, maybe we could have done STEP and saved the community some money. But when we're dealt a hand of cards that we were dealt when we came into office and had the options that we had placed in front of us to move forward or not, it made it awful difficult to see the savings and the risk involved in changing now to support the STEP system. And it's too bad that we've lost that opportunity in savings, and that's just because that's where we are today. That's out in construction. And once it's in construction, it makes it awful. There's monies, there's losses, there's that are incurred by stopping contracts, and it's quite a bit of money. The very real possibility of losing the SRF fund was there, and as much as I hate to tie ourselves to this loan, the savings make it worthwhile, 2.3% versus a conventional loan of 6% or bonds. I did the numbers. I mean, just looking at it, you can do the calculators online, and I verified this with Darren from the State Board. It's pretty much like an amortized mortgage payment. You can look at it, put in $65 million, check the difference in interest that you pay, and you're talking $30, $40 million over the life of the loan. I have the numbers, but I'm not going to dig them out. Tens of millions of dollars, so what it costs is extra interest on a standard loan if we were to just drop everything. And then you're talking about the nuclear option almost. Okay, so now we're in court. We just canceled contracts. Everybody's suing everybody, but that's the way it is.
Wait a second, Mr. Perlman. Has everybody who wanted to speak for 3 minutes spoken yet? Okay, the first we're going to go do all the 3 minute speeches, and then 1 minute follow-ups.
Hi, Bo Cooper, Los Osos. I want to tell you, John, and everybody else, that I understand and have faith in what you say, that what you say is true. My understanding is from what Lisa said and you just said today, that you guys really crunched the numbers. Yeah, it was for the STEP system. I think a lot of people were for the STEP system. But given the realities where we are starting from now, I fully support you. I want to let you know I fully support you. I have absolute faith in you, not blind faith in you, but knowing who you are, knowing that you have no agenda besides doing what's good for the community, knowing that you really work hard and are skilled, developed engineer type people, and morally developed folk. I support what you do. Okay, sorry. I would like to say, it is almost $70 million in the collection system. I would like to see Dan really struggle with the contractors and see if we can get a better deal. It is 42.9% over what the engineer estimated originally, so hopefully that's possible. I guess I wanted to make one note that I have Measure B here, and yet the collection system is separable from the wastewater treatment facility itself. At least that seems like it's an issue for me that, in fact, it's okay. In Section 2A, it says, definition, wastewater treatment facility, means any comprehensive centralized operational facility designed to treat wastewater and sewage exclusive of collection systems. So it seems those are separable issues, and that's good for me to know. And finally, you guys have 2 years in order to look for a good alternative. I'm glad it's you guys. I have faith that you'll do that, and anything I can do to help you get there, I'm glad to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Ms. Neller.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Neller from Quest by the Sea. A million thanks to the board and our interim general manager and attorney and Sam Blixley for the hard work you're doing. I thank you for a willingness to listen patiently and open-minded and with open-mindedness to all points of view. I thank you for incorporating the value of compromise in your decisions. I support whatever needs to be done concerning Measure B, and you know I really worked to get it out of town with many other people. But whatever we can do so that we can start working and so we can get it out of town, whatever it takes. There is no guarantee there will never be denser building on Las Osas Valley Road, sewer or no sewer out of town. There will always be those individuals who fight desperately against anything not initiated and direct in projected fear or fly with faith. After we've done our best, which is our job to do, the real burden of our problems belongs to a wisdom greater than our collective intelligence. And in that, I have unreserved hope.
Thank you, Ms. Zeller. Would anyone else like to speak for the three-minute rule?
I know it's getting late. Bob, you messed this up, didn't you? You did that on purpose. Yeah, okay. That's what... Right. Thanks. Can I start my 3 minutes over now? I personally would have liked to have seen the whole proposal to make comment on it tonight, but I know it was a rushed process. Um, 2.3%. Is that correct? Can you just nod? And it was 2.5 earlier in the year, and it was 2.6 last year. So I guess there are times that if we delay, we pay less. When does repayment start if you get the two-year extension? Is it still the same contract terms as the original SRF loan as far as when the first repayment from the district would occur? Would that be a year after the two-year extension? The collection system, they're not giving you an extension on that, on the timeline for that. So if I understand this right, you have 2 years to develop the treatment facility. The collection system will be in the ground, and there's going to be a lapse of time where it's pretty much just sitting there doing nothing. I mean, it's in the ground, it's ready to be connected, but if it takes 2 years to start the treatment facility, it's going to be a while before. That's why my concern is when the repayment starts. The previous board put no cap on the loan when they went to the state. The previous board did nothing about rebidding the project. The previous board started the project a month before the election. And now the state's asking you to ratify, certify, basically previous mistakes, and your names are the ones that are going to be on that. That is pathetic. And for that, this community has Stan, Richard, and Gordon, and other, including Pandora, to thank. $218,000, thing that's come up this week, but I think that would probably go into the wastewater fund, general fund. I have a couple other questions. I'll address them on the other minute. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Markinson.
Can I get some answers?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, when does the repayment start, Mr. Buskey? Did you catch that this week?
Madam President, I know on the original loan it did start a year after the project was complete. I'm not privy to the exact details of this proposal, but I would assume that the same would hold true since we didn't see that in the provisions, at least up on the board. But normally an SRF loan starts a year after project completion, total project completion.
Okay, thank you. And was there another question that I missed right now? Okay. Mr. Margaretson, when you come back up again, if I missed your questions, I'll get them then. I'm sorry. Ms. Jensen.
We're thankful for all the work that you did this week. I don't know if we're happy about everything the way that it happened, but we're thankful and just thought about you every day that you were putting your heart and soul and strength into all that you've done. I was curious about the money, the costs that have been incurred from the time that they started tearing up the project before we had the vote, tearing up for the plant, separate of the collection system. And I wonder how much money that is to date. It seems like they worked about 6 weeks over there, and that's a lot of money. And I think you said that the SRF loan doesn't pay that money that was run up. And it's my understanding that Measure B is retroactive back to March 1st and would make those costs that were incurred by the previous board maybe go away or make them responsible for it in some way. So I wonder if you could address that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jensen. Costs incurred so far, we're trying to come up with this analysis as fast as possible. We've just been thrown so many curveballs trying to get done, so I can't answer you. I promise I will as soon as I can. And Measure B was retroactive to March 1st with the ability to renegotiate contracts under, you know, it's just so as long as they comply with Measure B. So you're correct about the date of the contracts. Okay, anybody else like to speak for 3 minutes? Okay, I'm going to close the three-minute comment. No, wait a minute. You've spoke for 3 minutes. Now we're going to go to the 1 minute. Yeah, now we're going to open up the public comment to one-minute comments, and what I need from you is this or this on this this proposal and then your few comments about it.
James T. Gatchelo, Socialist. I'm happy to have the opportunity to speak again in case it wasn't clear that I support you in this decision. I have my apprehension about it, but that's just my paranoia. But thank you for your hard work. I appreciate what you've done here. And I think that it's a good deal and that those that support the project of the Tri-W should support this agreement too, because it does guarantee a project at some location. And those that support the project at Tri-W should not work against you. I know there's an unseen hand in this community that's working against this board by asking contractors to sue us or forming groups to sue us themselves or asking the water board to fine us to the maximum. I ask them to give this board the benefit of the doubt like we gave the previous board the benefit of average. So I don't see that as a life and death issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Calhoun.
Just a quick comment, too. I hope the community remembers, you know, we were talking about people being unhappy with perhaps some of the options that are facing this board, but there were a lot of doors that were slammed and nailed shut by the previous board that cannot be opened now, and so you're left with what you're left with. So the community needs to remember that. And I think hopefully these will come to pass and they'll work out. And I think you've done a remarkable job. I had a quick question on the winterizing of the site next door. Was there not a bond placed on that would pay for winterizing or restoring it reasonably? Was that gone with the wind, or will that help offset that cost? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Buskey, about the bond.
There is a bond, but as to the viability of the bond, we're concerned. We're looking into it.
Okay. Mr. Perlman. Thumbs up, right. Thumbs up.
Item one is in regard to something that was brought up earlier. Is not
tri-level. Microphone, please.
This thing? This was brought up earlier. Is not Tri-W actually have elements within it which are experimental and have not been tested for 10 years? And therefore, we're comparing apples and apples or oranges and oranges. My second question relates to the moratorium. Is the 218, are people going to be assessed and also allowed to vote for maximum build-out? What is the level of build-out that is assumed for those properties? And therefore the voting and therefore also their costs. One is there's fairness and unfairness in both those situations. I would like to ask you that you are clear, and I know you're going to be doing this, is to make sure that the math is correct when you compare the two systems, because one thing is if the water board adds fines, it will create a political decision as far as the sewer out of town. And also with the septic system, since this is included, I shall conclude.
Thank you very much. Mr. Miller, please.
Thank you, Bob Kreiser, again. You know, last time I stepped up here, I wasn't as positive as
oh,
I...
excuse me, Mr. Kreiser. Mr. Miller wanted to answer that question for Mr. Perlman. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam President. I think the question I'm answering is the one on the voting and cost, whether it was what kind of build-out it was for. And I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I can say that it was probably roughly close to the current Estero area plan update. More importantly, and we can give you the exact number, more importantly is that every property owner was allowed to review the development potential on their lot and request a change in that development potential, so it's sort of a self-correcting process for each individual owner, and there is a number that did request those changes. So when we bring back this whole issue of vacant property, I think we need to talk about that and just get that on the table, because you'll need to consider really the same process if you wish to do so, and I think we'll, I don't have those exact numbers in front of me, we could definitely bring that back.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman. Now, Mr. Kreiser, sorry.
Thank you again. I didn't mean to be less than positive last time I came up here. Your efforts are commendable, and I think that the work that you're doing is always in the best interest of the community. I never questioned that. And I misspoke on the $20 million. Yes, to save the collection system without a question is saving a lot of engineering efforts, and we've got a site that has value. So I'm sure that there's less than $20 million that is lost by making the change. The 218 vote is your uphill battle, as I'm sure you know, but... it is my understanding about a 218 vote is there has to be a relatively firm value put out to the assessees before they're asked to place a vote, because I also feel, and maybe this should become as a question, if in fact that you do assess the property owners for a specific value and then your construction contracts actually come back at a greater value, are you able to go back and reassess property owners for an additional fee? I think I know the answer to that, but I would rather have you answer that. And yes, maybe if your values are coming in to the point that the property owners are seeing a savings, you might win that 218 vote. So I hope for you that's how that goes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kreiser. Mr. Miller, did you want to answer that question? Additional fee, additional...
Yes, I think with two comments. Thank you, Madam President. Number one, not only do you have to come up with a fairly firm value, you have to come up with a number on each and every individual property. It's a single number that you're voting on, so it's a firm value. And then if you want more money after that, it's a new assessment district. So it's for a firm value, and the vote is for each individual property and their obligation on that property.
Thank you. Again, I'm looking for some recommendations on the... proposal two, while you speak for your next minute. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I did give you a heads up, and I think you can get the job done in 2 years. You had 14 meetings in 1 month. Look at all what you've accomplished in 1 month. My goodness, 2 years. I just want to let the community know some of the kinds of thinking that's going on in this community behind the naysayers. Someone forwarded to me some emails that were in exchange, and it was obtained, I guess, from the Freedom of Information Act between the Water Quality Control Board and the Dreamers, and one in particular asking if there was some way, this is a day after the election, could they move forward with the current project before the new CSD board is put in office? Contracts have been signed, the project is underway. Can an emergency agency be prepared to include the transferring of the project? A response said, other agency options aren't realistically on the table unless and until the CSD goes out of existence or gives up its wastewater authority. That's referring to you guys. The response from this person, Pandora, I hope the CSD gets fined out of existence fast enough to save the contracts and the low-interest loan. That's the thinking behind that group.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Mr. Bearden? Oh, Ms. Owen, I'm sorry.
Change, are we going to have an extended moratorium? Is this part down here in benefits of proposal out-of-town location creates opportunity to sewer locations outside of prohibition zone, thereby improving water quality? With new assessment district, boundaries could be redrawn to include larger portion. Is there a possibility that the people in Cabrillo Estates will be included? Because it does bring the cost down for everybody. And lastly, could you explain how the collection system works if it was meant to go in here and yet we're supposed to build it to go out there? How much change goes into that process? Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Owen. The collection system redesign can be done.
Essentially, what you've got with the collection system is all your collector lines will be the same size, and your in-zone pumping, I would imagine, would not change. What happens is when you get to the trunk lines, we'll have to take a look at velocities because we got to have a terminus pump station at a central point that essentially, if you can imagine where Tri-W was, there'll be a pump station, a much smaller facility there. This is just concept, and then a pipe going out of town. So we would probably have to upsize some of the trunk lines and modify the big station. Let me rephrase that. The pump station that's would be a relatively large pump station, but considerably smaller than the treatment facility. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Bearden. And Ms. Owen, if I didn't address all your questions, I apologize. I know you're trying to speak fast. We'll get them. If I didn't get them this time, I'll get them next time. And I didn't mean to not address them.
Property owners will vote with their pocketbooks. If you can bring in a sewer system at a cheaper price, you'll have no problem with a 218 vote. I support this proposal. Put the contractors back to work.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Jones.
Michael Jones, Los Osos. This comment has been stated ad nauseum, but I'm going to restate it. The former corrupt CSD3 did not have to start this project 20 days before the election. Not even the dreamer obstructionists who are acting out against our community who voted to move our sewer out of town deny this. Why did they start the project before the election? Because they knew they would lose, and it was their only chance of getting the project through. They knew based on the 2-3, 4-1 public comment against this project at CSD meetings that the community did not support this project. So they started the project before the election. I ask you to take just a minute and think about how evil and un-American this political action was. What bothers me about the Tri-W site and what it represents, this destroyed piece of Esha across the street, represents and is emblematic of corruption in government. Starting this project against the will of the people was an act of tyranny, and I do not see how any red-blooded American can support what was done across the street. This destroyed piece of Esha across the street and what it represents Don't ever ask me to support this. I will never support it, no matter what the cost.
1 week, this next week, to go up to the water board, and it seems to me you'd want to come to the community and get the pulse of the community and the support of this, and just be rushed in there. Anyways, I think the conditions should be simply move the sewer, give us 2 years to do it, because we've already evidently agreed to pay $163 million without a vote. So, and TRI-W stands for three wrongs, Stan, Richard, and Gordon.
Mr. Dugan or Ms. Arnan?
Daniela Arnan, I forgot to say so before. I guess a lot of people in the audience aren't clear. We actually have more than 2 years to build the project. We have till December 2009, and then I guess the loan is paid back starting December 2010. And so, thumbs up. Thank you all, and thanks to Assemblyman Blakeslee.
Thank you, Ms. Arnott. Thank you. Mr. Cooper.
Bo Cooper. In the preamble to the proposed agreement, the number one says that the groundwater quality in Los Osos is continuing to degrade because of the continued use of septic tanks. I'm concerned about the degree to which it's true. I'll even concede that there's some nitrate problem because of septic tanks. We know there are other possible causes, not agricultural runoffs and blah, 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 all the science stuff that you guys know. I wouldn't concede that point as a major point. I'd have trouble putting that in my own statement of fact. I want to do an interpersonal thing where I said I appreciate your engineering skills. Julie, I appreciate your vast knowledge, which is magnificent. So thank you for that. And finally, I want to thank you for making Rob Miller so very available. He's been sitting submerged for years, and now he's here, a font of knowledge, and it's terrific to have him aboard. Thank you.
Richard Margetson. I forgot the last time I was up here when I was talking about the collection system being completed within 2 years. Is there any leeway that it can be, that process can be slowed, and maybe some of the work could have been brought within the state? Because part of the cost for Barnard being here is they're from out of state. Just a question, because there is going to be that lapse where it's just sitting there. Keith talked about the revenue plan. Is it my understanding that they're asking you to ratify that also as part of this agreement? Montgomery Watson Harza, I've brought it up a number of times, $10,000 a day they're getting. Will that number change if they're only doing the collection system? Will that contract change? To look at the situation you were put in and what you're bringing back to the community, because no matter what the state says they're doing for us, this is still a loan, and this community is paying it back. It's not a gift from them. Thank you.
Thank you. 1 minute comment still.
Regarding John's item about the loan and the value of it, I'm going to give you those numbers. At 5% prevailing rates, this subsidy is $24 million from the state. At 6% rates, it's almost $32 million. That state loan is so valuable, and you did what you had to do, and I commend you for that. The way I looked at it, I've run scenarios, and what you're doing with this proposal and why I support it is that you are avoiding a worst-case scenario. I'm very risk-averse. That's why I supported putting the plan in at Tri-W where it was permitted. But with this proposal, at least you're avoiding a very worst-case scenario. And I don't think you're really foregoing a lot of potential benefit with the STEP system. Those step systems can be very good when they're planned out before you build a town. But in cases where you're retrofitting, the benefit is not nearly as great. So in that regard, I do support this. I do. My support isn't so much conditional on you guys as it is on the State Water Resource Control Board. There are five members there. One particular member, Richard Katz, who I don't necessarily expect his vote, but there's five members there. And again, we need to get their approval, and I hope we can get it. Either there's a workshop this week, and then they're scheduled for November 16th. And my concern is that they approve that by the 16th of November, because then they don't meet until January. And I think that's just going to be too late, and we'll be in a real problem. So we need to get their approval and their attention quickly. Thank you.
And that's why we're having all these meetings. We're trying to get this decision to them as quickly as possible. Mr. Sparks. Yes. Mr. Fouché.
During our discussions, they didn't know if that was going to be an administrative action or a board action. So we're not even sure of that yet, which way the state board is going to handle that. It could be administrative, and it's just a matter of saying go.
Okay, Mr. Krebs.
Chuck Krebs, Los Osos. A question. You are going to, my understanding, direct staff to recommend a resolution that you're going to vote on. My question is, are we going to have another meeting this month so we can discuss the recommend a resolution before you vote on it? So that's just, I wonder how that process is going to work. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Krebs, what we did is tonight we just wanted a discussion, and we're going to give our vote on that resolution, and it will come back again, but it will be not in the month of October. Dugan.
Dave Dugan, I give you a thumbs up on this proposal. What I really like is the, I already stated about the water conservation, but begin immediate exploration possibilities to pump down the upper aquifer to allow further nitrification within the soil matrix. And you have been listening. Thank you very much. Explore implementing is necessarily, might be necessary to the facility in the coming years on number four. I think those two probably go hand in hand. That's all I get to say. Thumbs up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Anybody else? Ms. Jensen.
Hi. I just had a question, another question. I think it was maybe two, three meetings back, the joint meeting that you had here, the last one that you had, and Mike Wolkin was here, and he read a big, long list of things and recommendations from the Coastal Commission. Now, those things are going to take a long time to implement, so is that, will that extend that two-year period, or do those things, measures have to be put in place before your time schedule begins for the project out of town?
I think Director Tacker can take that.
There was a lot of stuff that affected a lot of things, especially if we address the upper aquifer and using that in some way to purple pipe and bring that water level down, and the idea that maybe some septic tanks would begin to work again, and perhaps the entire community wouldn't have to hook in. They would all have to pay. But the cost of the project could be brought down. We don't want to spend all that money in that SRF loan just because it's there.
Your question about the Estero area plan, I think we actually might come in almost at the same time. The Estero area plan update will take quite a lengthy process, so we might actually be running concurrent.
Do you have to be completed before you...
They'll all be completed probably now about the same time. I think the Estero plan was further out than the actual end of the current the former sewer project.
Anybody else want to make a one-minute comment? Mr. Barrow?
Thumbs down. I think you're going to sell the farm if you approve this. I agree with some past speakers. There's a lot of conditions on this that make it almost very extremely restrictive. Number two, I think in addition to the costs that the old board left you, you're now accepting all the restrictions of this proposal in addition, which puts you further down in a hole. We fought for a vote. We're not getting to vote on this. We all fought for it. We stood up here for 2 years and claimed vote. You, Mrs. Thacker, you mentioned the meeting over after the Coastal Commission. Come on, we're not getting a vote here. You're deciding, and then you're going to give us a vote afterwards. That's bullshit. May Dream support, many of the Dreamers are supporting your position, John. That tells me something about the kind of decision that you made. I realize that you made a lot of assumptions in making your decision, as well as Steve Sinnott. I think those assumptions are questionable, and I think we need more time, like previous speakers have said, to deal with this. I don't think replacing Measure B is even an option, but it's a condition right here. You have to replace Measure B with the spirit of Measure B, Prop 218. And finally, 218 is for approving additional funding. It's not for a vote. It's for a vote on new.
Okay, Ms. McPherson.
Well, I just want to, it's been a long night, and I know you're all very tired, and I appreciate that you've listened so patiently to all the input from the community. And I commend you for that. I know that the repealing of Measure B may be distasteful to some, but the fact is that the spirit of Measure B is going to be retained in an out-of-town sewer and a lower-cost sewer, and that we're all going to benefit as a community from that, and that it is time to take those swords and make them into plowshares and to move forward. And I really appreciate, again, your work. Disappointed some people might be, thank you, Julie. I think it's important for us to stick together and to see this through and to work together to make this possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Just one more minute. Sorry. Okay. Mrs. Katie, I just wanted to say that the appearance that there is some agreement between people who were on opposite sides, I'm optimistic and hopeful that this actually is a result that we were all looking for and hoping for, and that it looks like this is a compromise in a way that hopefully will be better than what we had before, and that we can all work together in the next couple years to do something that will hopefully work for more people. So less people will have to move out of Los Osos. And if you guys feel like there's no other alternative at this point because of the pressures, then I support you. And I just hope that, you know, we can do it, hopefully. I don't know enough to know for sure, but I hope you guys will support, you know, keep working together.
Stay optimistic. Optimistic, please. Mr. Fichet, did you want to say something?
I just have to agree with Ms. Franklin. I mean, this is going to take a community effort. None of us can do this alone. So, you know, this is where we come together. And we'll be saying that over and over again, and we'll be asking the community to stand tall and let's move forward and get this done. I know everybody wants to put this issue behind us so we can go on with our normal lives. So we're asking for that support, and we're going to keep asking for it. And this is, I think, we need to go in a direction. I think we're going in the right direction.
Thank you. I'm going to close 1 minute public comment unless I see someone stand up right now, calling once, twice, three times. And thank you very much. The next step on the agenda is director's comments, report from closed session that it was held last night, and announcing closed session this evening. So you're welcome to stay for these parts. And I would like to start out with Director Sinnott. Would you like to speak first?
Have anything to do with it? We plan for the development that might occur, or whoever want to accept to hook up to it. expandability is always a good idea. But to say that we're doing it and it will allow development, certainly there's a lot of things out there that, you know, really constrain development, number one being water. I think the revote of Measure B, in your honor, I'm going to call it the Sparks Amendment. I don't think there's a time that Mr. Sparks has seen me that we haven't talked about Measure B and its fundamental flaws. Well, what turned out as a fundamental flaw was its fundamental asset, and that's bringing people to terms with the fallacy of a cheaper in-town design. And having the prospect of seeing the plant built in the middle of town if we fail, we all have to set limits on ourselves and have to have consequences. We function, I don't know, it seems we ask that of our children, and we should ask no less for ourselves. I think had we required the same thing of the solutions group when they came to us with a plan for better, faster, cheaper, that had they failed in that, we would have reverted back to a county plan. Think where we would be today. And I have confidence in what we're trying to achieve, where I really don't think about a future Tri-W sewer plant. The assessment vote is to guarantee payment. It's something the state wanted. I think people who would vote against such a thing might be the people who would frustrate an out of town plant. That's a fear. But if they don't vote for that, there's no funding for any plant. So where are we going to go? And by the time we get down that path, things are going to be very, very cumbersome to try to correct. So I don't see any choice but to move forward without incurring a lot of difficulty for ourselves. Thank you all for coming tonight. Stick around. It should be fun.
Thank you. Hey, Director Sasania, would you like to have any final closing comments, speaking to the box here?
Yes, I'm still here. Have been here all night.
That's great. Give him a hand.
Hard about what we have to have, about the things that we would like but don't have to have. We're all going to have to give up something. It was a negotiation. The Water Board needs comfort that we intend to move ahead with the project. That's why the language regarding Tri-W is in here. None of us have any intention of building a plant at the Tri-W site or allowing that to happen. Nothing's changed there. But everyone on both sides needed assurances. We've got extra time to work on our project, and I think we're going to pull this off. And I'd like to thank you all for keeping an open mind.
Thank you. Is that a motion? No, we'll wait for all the comments and go. Yes, Director Tacker, would you like some comments on this item?
I do have some comments, and I think something that rang out through public comment that hit a chord with me, and something I want to help people recognize, and it's kind of always been an argument for against an out-of-town sewer was the development potential. Coastal Plan Policy 1 for agriculture requires that prime agricultural land be maintained in or available for agriculture production, except in very limited
circumstances. Mr. Danker, land use is political. We had supervisorial candidates in the room tonight. Our future lies with the county as far as development potential. But what limits them is the coastal zone, and very much of the valley is coastal ag. So I want you to realize that coastal ag conversion, especially of prime ag, is difficult. And it will go through a very lengthy process, and I imagine you and I would link arms and fight the development of the coastal ag land. When I looked at an out-of-town sewer and I interviewed the coastal staff, Steve Monowitz affectionately said that, or he called it, the Watsonville straitjacket. Then he sent me the staff report so I could learn all about it. And the Watsonville straitjacket is a utilities easement. And you deed restrict the pipeline out there so that nothing can hook into it. And you wrap a belt around the outside of the property so nothing can hook into the plant. And you restrict the capability of adding on or making it bigger than you would want, so, or to allow further development. This can be done, and they would require it. So I am very confident that we're not going to build something that just opens the gates for development should we magically get water, because we're not going to have water for some time. So day in and day out, and I know it was literally blood, sweat, and tears. I know it was hard, and, you know, all thinking about our community's best interest. I do support the proposal, and I didn't want to. And Mr. Barrow says we're giving up the farm. We might lose a wing off the barn. We're not giving up the whole farm. We're going to have our sewer out of town. And I think that really is the common goal. We're going to do our best, Mr. Barrow. We're going to do our best to make it cheaper. So I, again, thank you.
Thank you, Director Taggart. Vice President Boucher, do you have any other additional comments at this time on this item?
Just a couple. Affordability, that's a tough one. I just heard Mr. Barrow mention that. That's tough. I don't think any system that we could put out a brand new sewer system, total sewer system, is cheap. No matter what we put out there, it's not going to be cheap. We're going to try to lessen the cost. That's our intent. That's why we are going down this road, is to lower the cost of the treatment facility. And I think we can do that even by moving it out of town. I support what we're doing. I think it's the best that we can do with where we are today, and we just have to accept that. It's either that or we kill everything, just all the contracts, and just stay in court for years. And I don't think anybody wants to stay in the courts for years and not fix our problem. I think we need to start asking for the community to support this. We need to educate the community so they can support it. And we'll put out as much information as we possibly can to make the community understand what it is that we're doing and the reasons why we are doing what we're doing. With your input and your support, I mean, we don't do it without you. We represent you. So that's what we're here to do, and we're trying to do what's best for the whole community. Just one last word, water conservation. Please conserve water. Let's start today. Let's do it. And we'll just try to make all of our do all the right things that we can do to preserve our natural and precious resource, water. Thank you.
And then I just have a quick few final comments myself on this item. I didn't get to thank Mr. Blakesley before he left. He was kind of running out the door before I got my few words in, so I'm going to do that now. I have to tell you, I've been in a lot of group meetings. I've facilitated meetings. I've been in meetings my whole life, and I can't describe a better facilitator for such a difficult issue. And both he and Ms. Robertson were unbelievably excellent to work with, and I can't thank them enough. And I can tell you they were fielding calls from all of you. You know if you wrote them. You know if you called them. They were concerned about everybody's interests, and they were trying to balance everything in the negotiations this week. So it was really, really something. I thank staff. I thank Mr. Fouché, and I thank you for being here again tonight. And you were a great audience tonight. I was very nervous about tonight, and I can't thank you enough for your courteousness and your civility and your working together to try to get through this contentious issue. I'm just very honored that you were willing to do that for all of us. It's going to continue that way. We're going to keep working our meetings this way, and your participation's incredible and greatly appreciated. And I would love to see if any of citizens who might be retired or have an extra day off, if you'd be willing to go to Sacramento and report back to this board, we surely would appreciate that information. It's going to describe all the different ways that you can get funding for water things. And if you need any details, I can give you the link of the website and how to register. So that's a great thing, too. Right now, I'd like to entertain a motion for, I'm sorry, Mr. Fouché.
One last thing. I have our first water-saving tip for the evening. Whenever you're turning on your spigot to get hot water for your dishes or your shower, put your watering pail for your flowers underneath there while your water's warming up and save that water and use it for your plants. That's tip number one.
Thank you. Very good. Oh, Director Sennett?
Tip number two, don't recommend that to your wife in the morning.
Okay. The motion will be tonight to either accept or reject the proposal as written and direct staff to develop a resolution of approval for our next scheduled board meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. Okay. Can I make a motion as president? Okay. I just made it. She just seconded it. Okay, Ms. Harper.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Fouché?
Yes.
President Schicker?
Yes. The motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay, the last items of the evening are these. First, I'd like to report on our closed session business from last night, the meeting held at the district office on Saturday, October 29th. We had no reportable actions last night. Tonight, we're about to go into closed session again. And do I have to read the whole agenda into the record?
Go ahead.
Okay. I have to read the whole agenda into the record, so I apologize and indulge your patience. Here we go. This is an announcement of our closed session items, public comments on closed session items, and convening of closed session. It is the intention of the board to meet in closed session concerning the following items. A, existing litigation, government code. Mr. Barrow, do you mind? Thank you. Existing litigation, Government Code 54956.9A, conference with District Counsel for existing litigation formally initiated. LOCSD versus San Luis Obispo County Clerk case et al. Recase initiative petition in SLO Superior Court, CV05062. Second case, Los Osos Taxpayers Association versus LOCSD and State Water Board in SLO Superior Court, CV 050649. That's a Prop 18 vote issue.
The third case of existing litigation is case CCLO versus State Water Board in LOCSD in Sacramento Superior Court, CV05080121. That's regarding the early SRF loan disbursement. Anticipate C, two cases. And then D is personnel, and that's conference with district counsel for the following personnel-related contracts and positions: general manager, public information officer, wastewater coordinator, and wastewater staffing. At this time, I'll take public comment on closed session items, and we'll be doing it like we've been doing it every other night. We'll report at the next meeting at the end. So if anyone would like to speak on closed session items, please come up to the podium now.
I'm a proponent for Measure B. I request that you drop the previous board's lawsuit against Measure B in closed session. Julie Biggs has stated that it is your obligation to defend Measure B. You have just supported a proposal that denies Measure B. And I think Burke, Williams, and Sorensen should pursue you in court as early as possible convenience, unless you do drop that. I'm outraged that you even made the appearance of supporting Measure B through the election, through the qualification, and then turned around and turned your back on it. That's why I say your turncoats. Everything that I've worked for 8 years in the community is shot. Affordability averaged $25 a month in California for wastewater, and you guys are still considering $150, $200 a month. I think that's unconscionable, and I resent it deeply, and I'm deeply hurt by your actions, as will all the low-income people. I have families with children next to me that can barely make the rent. They won't have to find a home somewhere else like my dog did.
Would anyone else like to speak?
Richard Margetson. I'm concerned about what just happened. I'll try to explain. This item on the agenda states public hearing A, discussion with State Water Resources Control. Action requested, present state proposal and receive public comment. That's it. I was not under the understanding that you were going to accept the proposal tonight. The community still has not seen the proposal. We saw a summary tonight. We have not seen the document, and there's no way that summary is what you're going to be signing after a week of negotiations. Dealing with the closed session items, if you're only doing the collection system, I think you need to consider the public information officer position and the ombudsman. I still think between the two of them at $165,000 plus.
It would be permissible entirely for this board to, in closed session, approve an offer of settlement that is presented by the state. So the idea of doing it in open session such as tonight would not violate the Brown Act.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Swanson?
So now I'm very confused. It's saying that it could be resolved under B. These are cases or anticipated with litigation or exposure to litigation.
The
negotiations had nothing to do with a lawsuit.
Mr. McClendon, would you care?
Yes, I can explain that. It's significant exposure to litigation. That's what the Brown Act provides for. And we've been assured from the State Board that we would be looking at litigation here, pending a lack of resolution, lack of settlement of our dispute.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. When is the State Water Board meeting?
We don't know.
Oh, I thought it was this week. Is that not?
Sometime this week. We're not privy to that information. That's what we've been told. Sometime okay. This week, they'll let us know. But we're not.
So it wouldn't be next week or this coming week?
We have to do this tonight. We
right.
have to start this process tonight. That's why we've been doing these insane right. amounts of meetings.
Right.
Trying to do it the right way.
Right.
We're trying our best.
I understand. I just, my concern is that you're asking staff to draft a resolution. And if it's going to happen this week with the state, isn't there still have to be a process with the board before that happens to adopt that resolution before? So is there going to have to be a special meeting for that? Possibly. Okay. Secondly, regarding staffing, I think that definitely we're going to need some type of public information, whether it has to be some dynamic voice that does it. We don't need that, so we can save money. Hey, I can do that.
Hi, Lacey Cooper again. I just was unclear about the exchange with Richard Margeson. I was wondering, are you drafting a proposal when you're in closed session and then coming back with it? Or is there a longer proposal that's open to the public or what? I'm not understanding.
The proposal, believe it or not, is about 1.5 pages long.
Uh-huh.
It's not that long. And we have to, that's all I have, and I don't have it available tonight. This is the summary statement about
right.
it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's less than 1.5 pages long. Uh-huh. And that's what we're going to come back with on whatever night this week okay. to finish it up.
Okay, so okay. we'll see it then.
Yeah. Yes, you will see it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you.
Joe Sparks, Los Osos. I encourage you to take the necessary action to